Yes, Joel Radio. Welcome back, everybody. Corey Hall, how you doing over there?
Shalom.
You're wearing some black for Steve Jobs. I see you're in mourning.
Yes, yes. I'm wearing my black turtleneck.
And you have half mask. Your little round wire frame glasses, too, right?
And my mom jeans. I am really, it's a full-on tribute to Steve Jobs.
This is in tribute to Steve Jobs. The show will be just like any other podcast, but cost twice as much. How's that?
Heyo!
Ba-da-bum!
And this music is brought to you by Joel's phone,
yeah.
Which you can thank Steve Jobs for.
Well, this is an Android phone, actually. You can't thank
no, but
Steve
but there wouldn't have been an Android phone if there hadn't been an iPhone.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. It's Joel Radio. Corey Hall joining me.
Shalom.
Once again.
Shabbat shalom. And I want to say happy.
It's a busy week, so
happy
let's get into it.
5772 to my dear, dear Jewish friends.
What is that? Is that Rosh Hashanah?
It's Rosh Hashanah was last week.
Last
so,
week.
Yeah,
yes.
There you go. A little shout out
to our Jewish listeners.
To all my brews. To all my Hebrews and my Shebrews out there. L'chaim.
All right.
Yeah.
Corey Hall.
And I wanted like to say happy first of the month to my black friends out there.
they should.
That was
what is it, the sixth?
Celebrated last week.
We got a couple of bucks left, right? It's not all gone yet.
Something to
save a couple bucks for the weekend.
Oh.
Corey was talking about how the Family Feud is now black. And I completely agree
it
with
really
that.
It really is. Have you seen the Family Feud lately? It's really.
It's completely.
Well, after they had like a string of bland white guys host the Family Feud for forever.
Yeah, well, since Richard Dawson left, it's been one lame-o.
Well, there was Louis Anderson was a great era.
Yeah?
Because Louis was creepy.
Louis was creepy. Yeah, it was too.
Where is the place that you hide your keys? Where are your keys when you lose them?
Things in your closet.
What are the best places for glitter? Yeah.
Name something that people don't know about you that if they knew, they might think you're creepy.
Name an appropriate bribe amount for a young boy who works in a hotel. Over.
Name an activity that middle-aged men would do with teenage boys.
Oh, we're recalling a 10-year-old story here, but there was Ray Combs.
Ray Combs.
I mean, obviously Dawson was the original and the best.
Sure.
Still pimp of the block.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got hepatitis
he
C.
He could come back and do it today and be better than anybody they had.
I'm sure he got hep C from kissing all those skanky Iowa corn-fed hoes.
Did he actually get hepatitis C? Is
no, he married said? A girl from the show.
Did, oh, yeah, he
married,
did.
He married a contestant.
It's great.
That's awesome, isn't it?
How many contestants do you think he banged?
That's got to be.
It's
I mean, the
be.
Numbers have got to be staggering.
Yeah.
I mean, why do you think he stayed on that show for like 15 years?
Well, I guess he.
That was a solid, dependable pussy train. Mm-hmm. Funded by the Mark Goodson production. Was it a Mark Goodson production? What was his family?
I think
feud?
It might have been. It was a spinoff of Match Game, essentially, because he got that gig from being the regular.
I know,
you know, Match
and
Game.
And the kids
catalyst.
Today don't know from the Match Game.
Match Game was great.
They don't know that Gary Berghoff was an excellent contestant on Match Game, and they don't.
Well, Family Feud was actually great in its time. The problem with Family Feud is that they changed the set of Family Feud. Used to be this magnificent thing, sort of. It was this giant. Mm. Kind of larger than life set, and now it's kind of like an LCD screen or something. It's not very cool
it's
anymore.
It's not. It lacks a little bit of that 70s
does,
charm.
Yeah. Yeah, the Family Feud set was cool, but now you got Steve Harvey.
That's right, Steve Harvey, y'all. I'm hosting a Family Feud,
and I think Steve Harvey's kind of funny, so I'm not against it in that one. I'm not really against the show in general.
Well,
I
who
like
was the guy?
Show.
Who was the guy? The guy from Seinfeld had been on there previously, John Harrelly.
Yeah.
Who was, you know, a big
sure
a big blah. He's got a big announcer voice, and he's a bland white guy.
And the guy before him was Richard Karn?
The backup dude from Tim
the
Allen's
Tool Time
show.
Guy,
yeah. The Tool Time
guy.
Yeah, yeah.
was on there for a while.
So we had a lot of vanilla
sure.
on that show. But
now that they've just added Steve Harvey, like even the question, like not only are there more black families competing on it,
yeah,
is that there's like more black, the questions are black themed. Like here's the one the other night. I'm not making up these questions because we can make up our own. That'll be just right. as funny. But here's what they. I'm not making these up. Mm-hmm. I watched it the other night. It was a black family against a roller derby team. Like apparently you can just go on even if they're not your family. You can just create a team.
You can make a team of.
And we could be the Detroit Comedians or something.
Oh, that we'd suck.
And it would be me, yeah. you, and Bill Bouchard, and
yeah.
You know, whatever. Whoever.
Jeff Sheen.
Jeff Sheen. All right. My girlfriend, whoever you put on there.
Jeff Ford.
Jeff Ford. Because
his answers would be great, wouldn't
he? He'd be at the end. He wouldn't be in the front, yeah.
I don't know exactly what to say. What color is the sky? Purple?
Nobody knows Jeff All Ford, right. but it is funny. But anyway, these are literally two of the questions in the main body of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Name something a wife would put in her man's food if she was... No, name something a wife would put in her husband's food if she was mad at him. Like, who would put anything in anybody? Like, what? Like, that happens a lot? Yeah. Like, if somebody called you in a survey or he stopped you at the mall and said, I got a survey question. Like, what would you put in your husband's food if you're mad? I'm like, what crime am I admitting to by answering that question? You know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. It is. And no,
and one of the answers was, like, rat poison was, like, the number one answer.
Yeah.
What black women are putting rat poison in their man's food?
On one hand, first of all, who's doing the surveys for the Family Feud?
Spit was one of the answers. It really was. It was one of the answers.
Was, let me see pee-pee. Is pee-pee on the board? Number three answer, pee-pee. What, your finger.
I forget what it was, but it was like spit. It was like, somebody said onions or something, you know, like.
Onions.
It was terrible. And then here's
I don't like onions. Oh, sorry.
Here's the other one that was on there. Name something, what animal would you call your husband if you caught him cheating on you?
Oh, he a dog.
Yeah, like he a dog.
Number one answer, show me dog.
Yeah.
Let me see dog on the board. No, it's, the show
it
has taken
snake, pig, right. you know, it was skunk. And I'm like, what kind of question? Here's a Richard Dawson Family Feud question.
Yeah.
Okay. Top five answers on the board. Here's the question. I'm doing my Richard Dawson.
Okay. I thought you were doing a carnival barker for the
1820s. In case you thought my tongue was anesthetized from being at the dentist, this is actually a Richard Dawson impression. Yeah. Top five answers on the board. Here's the question. Name something besides money that women keep in their wallet. Like, it's the blandest bullshit.
Right.
Name something in your junk drawer at home. You know, it was.
I noticed a little bit of bias in the because you can tell he's rooting for the black family over the white family.
And he is. Yeah, I think so.
I did detect a certain bias when the category was top five menthol cigarette brands. I really did. Let me see Newport. Can I see Newport? Number one answer. Good answer.
All right.
Yeah. When I saw. Models of Cadillacs was a topic. I really thought the show had taken a turn. I'd like to see Broham. Good answer. It's funny. It's just Steve Harvey. And it's always like when they say something, people say crazy stuff too.
They do, yeah.
They'll say.
Well, I had that. God, I wonder if I have that Family Feud clip still. Let me see.
Oh, Joel, pulling up, doing research for the show.
Remember I had that one about what's the. I do have it. Let me play.
All right, here. Let me hear this.
This was a white guy answering the question. I played this, I think, before. Maybe I haven't.
All right, guys, here we go. We got the top six answers on the board. Name something that gets passed around.
You remember this?
Chris.
A joint.
That's a white guy saying that. It's kind of a long clip, but then the lady's answer is funny, too.
Uh-huh.
And joint is on the board, I believe. So.
Can I leave?
Yeah. Now,
Steve
Chris,
Harvey looks.
I don't know what 100 people.
Steve Harvey is shocked.
I thought we were talking to at some nice little mall across good old America. But I'm pretty sure the people didn't tell the survey people, hey, an illegal drug. Let's turn around and see how many weed heads are out there with Chris. A joint.
is to join us on there.
Number one answer. No,
I don't know. That was number one. It's not number one because then the lady that's playing on the other team gets to pick.
This is when you know we're going to hell. Okay, Tracy, only four answers top it, so.
The collection played at church.
So she gives a complete opposite answer.
That's true.
Now she's got the halo and I got the horns.
I like the way you tried to stop us from going to hell. You, Mr. You Evil Boy, passing it.
Anyway.
And the next answer when he asked the black family, my cousin LaRonda.
I think there were black families on
things
that
get passed around.
Might have been too
a crack
things.
Pipe.
But I know the Family Feud is now on at 7. And I think it's...
Oh, they can work a little
blue. It's like Match Game PM now. It's not on at noon. It's on at 7. Match Game PM was a little naughty compared to regular Match Game.
Oh, God, are we... Do you feel... You really... You know, I've always been
a lot
little,
of derriere answers on Match Game.
Derriere.
The derriere.
Well, I've always felt that I was a little bit out of time. Yeah. I always felt as a kid that I knew shit from the 40s. You know,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I remember...
Yeah, you still are.
I know. But I'm now feeling really old.
Feeling really old?
Now you drop a Match Game PM reference now and people Nobody just look it. At you like, what are you right. talking about?
But it's funny that people will drop references to stuff mm-hmm. that are ancient now. I mean, just ancient. That people don't realize how old like something from 1978 is now.
It really is old.
It's like 35 years old.
And, you know, they start going like, what's happening?
Yeah, like stuff like that is ancient.
All right, I played, I'm in a bar trivia league.
Yeah.
And last night they had one of the bonus rounds was they gave the summaries for NBC sitcom, like, retired NBC sitcoms.
Sure.
And it was like, a young girl discovers her mother had more than one suitor.
Family Ties.
Yeah.
No, but it's not. It's yeah. My Two Dads.
Right. Okay. Right. So that's what it was. It was yeah, like synopsis. And I did the thing in maybe 30 seconds. I mean, it really, like, you know what I mean? I just, yeah. as soon as I read it,
right.
I wrote them.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, and I heard one of the other teams debating.
Yeah.
They thought Silver Spoons, it was different strokes.
Yeah.
But they were like, so sure. It was like, was Ricky Schroeder on that? Like, they really didn't know. And this stuff was like, you know what I'm saying? Like, sitcoms
Silver
from
Spoons
19...
was kind of a white version of
right.
different
but I'm just saying sitcoms from 1980
yeah.
were about are about as fresh in my mind
yeah.
as anything.
Well,
and people just have no idea.
Because when we were kids, though, stuff that seemed old was in black and white.
Right.
And it was, you know, it was on kinescopes, and it was all scratchy, and then the new stuff was in color and all
right,
that.
Right, right,
right. And we haven't made giant technological leaps. I think when we look
I
back...
I remember being annoyed that there were black and white Gilligan episodes.
Sure, yeah.
And then
and
I'd
some
like,
were color and some
I'd
were
like,
black
this
and white.
One sucks because it's not color. Yeah.
And, you know, but I think now looking back, we may look back on like a 4x3 television
yes.
as looking real old now
no, yeah,
compared
yeah.
to HD when people more get used to how
sure.
everything's been in HD. Like if you have to watch a Friends now,
yeah,
and they may HD the Friends because I think they shot them on film. Have you noticed that with sitcoms?
Well, there's stuff from the 90s that doesn't look good.
Right, that's what I mean, because they shot, it's 4:3. But like Seinfeld, they've remastered. I know they've remastered Cheers.
Okay.
They're now in
Here's
HD.
Here's an example. Star Trek.
16:9, yes.
Star Trek, they went and remastered the 60s Star Trek, which was shot on film.
Yes.
And so they could do it. But the 90s Star Treks look like the Captain Picard ones. Look like butt.
But are you up on the latest news that they're remastering those?
Oh, are they?
For 2012, yeah. They're going in and they're re-whatever. They're redoing the effects.
Well, it's still going to look like,
yeah.
by the way, it's still going to look like a Ramada Inn in there instead
yeah,
of a spaceship.
I know what you mean.
That's
yeah.
my problem with the next
right.
generation. It
yeah.
doesn't look like
well,
a spaceship.
Well, you know, they're redoing
but
them.
They look like they were just running
yeah,
in
they're
syndication.
Still going to be 4:3. They're not going to be widescreen.
Oh, yeah.
But I think, aren't these 60 Star Treks still... The remaster is still 4:3, or are they 16:9?
They might be.
I think they're 4:3.
But they looked better.
They looked better, yeah. They did a nice job.
They were on film, so
but, you know,
good.
But the Star Trek people, that's just another way to sell them to you.
Sure.
And I think that's kind of true with Star Wars, too. Is that, and as much as he wants to constantly say, I'm tinkering George Lucas, I think it's also another way to sell it to you. I think if they were the same every single time he put them out,
right.
if he didn't tweak them, that people wouldn't buy
well,
them.
No, you can't put out a new set of something and not have it change.
And not have it change because...
Although, Actually, no, what people do is they put out a new box set of something with more documentaries. And
they
more
do, and they did that with
different
Star Wars.
Commentary and yeah. extra scenes.
Right.
But tampering with the film itself.
It happens sometimes.
Blade Runner, they do that all the time.
Blade Runner.
How many director's cuts?
I think they're done with Blade Runner because they put out that five
yeah.
disc Blu-ray with every cut ever on it and everything, which I never got because I don't even like Blade Runner that much.
I just wrote an article about things that aren't on Blu-ray.
Yeah, it's quite a bit right now. There's still a lot that's not on
Blu-ray. Well, I wrote an article that had a bunch of categories, and one of them was not on Blu-ray.
Sure.
And I went with Indiana Jones, although that's apparently coming out next year.
It's coming out. Well, the newest Indiana Jones is out, but right. not the classic
one. The classics are rumored for
the
next
classic
year.
Trilogy is not.
But anyway. Yeah, so, you know, they can remaster and tinker. Did you get the Star Trek, the Star Wars Blu-rays?
Did not.
Are you going to get the Star Wars Blu-rays?
It was going for $80 the week it came out, and... My problem with that is, number one, I don't really have $80 to just throw. Because essentially, I'm going to watch the extras,
yeah.
and I don't think I'm going to sit through. I know they're going to look good on my, like, I have a 50-inch plasma and stuff, and blue, you know. I don't think I'm going to sit through even the Star Wars I like again. I feel like I've seen them recently enough to not need to see them.
It's not a big
priority. You know what I mean?
It's
yeah.
And this might happen.
I'll watch the extra stuff. But it's not. Is it worth $80 well, for a couple of hours of extras?
I'll tell you what frustrated me. They put out Back to the Future.
Yes.
They put out new deluxe versions
they
of that.
They did, yes.
And they had what would have sold that thing for me in a heartbeat
right.
was putting Eric Stoltz footage in it. But they didn't. They put Eric Stoltz stills.
There's Eric Stoltz footage in the documentary that came with the new
Oh,
movie.
Really?
There is. It's not much. I've seen Cleese.
But they wouldn't show you, like, takes.
They won't show you, like, the cut with Eric Stoltz. Apparently, it wasn't much for one.
Yeah.
But you can see it. Go on YouTube. You can watch it right now.
Really?
You can go watch that right now.
Oh, okay. Fine.
Save yourself some money. Don't buy it.
All right, fine.
But it's funny with Back to the Future, because when did those Back to the Future deluxe DVDs, and I know you and I both went out and bought, come out?
Uh-huh.
6 years ago,
right.
5 years
then
ago.
They've been updated since then.
And it's, you know, the Twilight Zone. I finally got every Twilight Zone on DVD.
Yeah.
They're fucking out on Blu-ray now.
But you know what? They gotta squeeze, because soon digital distribution will trump everything.
And that's the other thing. Now every Twilight Zone is on Netflix, which I have.
Right.
So now I don't even need the discs that I waited a lifetime to buy. I mean, there's extras and stuff that are on the DVDs that aren't on Netflix, but it's still like... It makes you wonder why buy anything anymore.
You know what? I don't want to buy anything anymore.
Yeah, and maybe you shouldn't.
You know what's the shame? I loved buying stuff.
Well,
I spent.
How much do you love not having that money, not having to spend that money, though?
You know, it's whatever.
You're going to spend it on something else. So
here's the deal, though. I'm a film critic.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be entertained during the week.
Yeah.
Or
true.
I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm not going to run out of things to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I have a different position than other
you
people.
You do, yes.
I don't. So spending money on media now seems sort of foolish to me.
It does. But you have cable and stuff, so you still have that.
I'd love to cut my cable bill. I'm really. You know, they announced the Xbox is now going to start streaming cable.
Yeah, but I don't know what that means. I don't think that's going to save you any money.
But
I think it means if you already have cable, you can use your Xbox to get the cable.
Well, if it eventually supplants the cable box, and if. Because. God.
You're paying a rental fee on your box, though, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe that would be a
I'm paying too much for cable.
Everybody is.
And
everybody is.
They can shove it up their ass.
But that's the problem is the cable company is also controlling your internet. So if you're going to replace it with something, you would replace it with some sort of IP thing, like a Netflix or a Hulu.
Uh-huh.
But then they're going to say, hey, if you use too much bandwidth during the month,
right?
Then you're going to be cut off that way. But I actually think for your job, though, you should have Netflix or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why, because so much stuff is now not even coming out theatrically that you should have, like, even as part of, like,
right.
you should be reviewing stuff that's on HBO, because now when they're shopping these movies, they're producing the movies and they're going to Toronto or wherever and they're selling them to HBO.
Right.
And the same movie would have got sold
I just did a
theatrical company, you know, to a...
Right.
Distributor.
There's a documentary that just came out, and I did an interview with the director. But the documentary was funded by PBS,
okay.
and it's eventually going to play on I think it was POV.
Okay.
And it's going to eventually, sometime not too long from now, end up on PBS.
Right.
But they were running it theatrically in a couple spots.
Okay.
So she was like, don't mention that it's going to be on PBS, because it's going to be out on television.
Decor. You want right. that Prohibition series? Did you miss any of that?
It'll be on.
It's out next week. Right. It's out next week.
But she was like,
"It's out next week."
She was like, "Try not to tell people that it's going to be on
TV." It's out next week,
and I'm like, honey, you're lucky if two people go to your documentary.
Right.
It's a documentary about kids from the UP who served in Afghanistan. Like, who's going to see this?
Yeah, and not to mention a lot of these places, HDNet Movies shows all of the stuff that, is it Magnolia? Is that the distributor? All of their stuff is on cable and pay-per-view before it hits theatrical.
Yeah.
So and it's just like it's the whole distribution, the whole release system is upside down. So I think you should be covering
that. I will
that.
Say this. I will say this.
Your newspaper should get in step.
And we'll
the 2000s.
My papers.
The 2010s.
They're way behind.
But
let me just say this. The old before we get into Steve Jobs, who's responsible for a lot of this.
Yeah, we'll get into Steve Jobs.
I will say, while I don't, I went out and bought one of the new MST3K box sets.
Okay.
Because it was, you know, they hadn't been out before.
Okay, yeah.
The episodes, they were Gamera, and there was issue rights with them.
Yes, of course.
I love those shows. And that was fun to go out and buy a physical object and get it. And then I ended up buying some Wii games that were, you know, Super Mario Galaxy is now a classic. Yes, though they've cut the price down.
Yes.
But, yeah, you know, I sit there and I go, I still like going to the store. There is something about...
There is, yeah, absolutely.
And that sensation, when you put a value on an object, when you put a value on a piece of media to consume it, does add something to the experience.
Yeah.
And I could get stuff on my computer all day long that I don't.
Yeah, you could, but...
I find almost for me it disincentivizes me to watch something because I'm not... having that sensation to run out on a Tuesday and buy the record or listen.
I get that, but that's also you grew up with that, and the kids today
they have no
didn't grow up with that, and so the convenience of watching something online. And again, when you watch stuff online, you don't have to watch everything illegitimately. I think you're sort of from that when the internet
no,
came
but
up,
I'm even saying
stuff was illegitimate.
I'm even saying,
but,
like, okay, if I could stream, I can stream stuff on my Xbox on Netflix.
Yes,
yet I'm somehow weirdly disincentivized to do it because it's gonna be there.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's, you know what I mean? It's lost its physicality, its permanence. It's kind
right,
of
you,
there used to be stuff where I'd go, there'd be albums I'd have to go look for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a nostalgia that you have that others don't, though. I'm telling you.
I think anybody under 30 doesn't have that anymore. So
yeah, they don't. They don't. I had that too, and I guess I still have that on some level. But I'm okay without it. I've given that up a little bit.
Well, I also worked,
and I feel good.
I also worked in retail a lot more than you did, and so I have a kind of affinity and affection.
I used to go to a record store and I bought records that, you know, I would pay $16 for a CD I listened to once.
Right.
Because you couldn't even hear the CD before you bought it. You know what I mean? You didn't even know what it was. You're buying CDs. You thought you read an article about somebody, and then you'd go out and buy their album without hearing anything.
I got a couple albums by Balloon Guy. Sitting and I went, hey, why did I buy the second Balloon Guy album? I think we went and saw them play like Rick's American Cafe in Ann Arbor for the like year and a half that the cool guy was booking it, and then he graduated.
Yeah,
you know, like it was like every indie band in the world came through, like Tsunami was coming there.
Yep.
And anyway, I sit there and I go, why did I buy a Balloon Guy CD? And then Amy looks at my books and record collection and goes, you never saved a dollar, did you? And I'm like, no, I pretty much did. I bought, I had roommates and friends that bought more shit than I did.
Yeah, everyone did. Everyone spent all of their spare money on these things. And, you know, now, but you get Netflix, it's $8 a month.
Right.
You know, so you're spending
but ultimately,
whatever that is, $100
a year. It's never been easy to make money as a musician or an artist or a writer, but it's getting harder.
Well, but there's more revenue streams now. That's the difference.
I guess. But look what just happened. The second largest bookstore chain in the country.
Sure.
Which had been a multimedia, had sold CDs and DVDs, disappeared.
You know why they disappeared?
And there was a little bit of, well, because they didn't have, they sold out to Amazon and they didn't have
They didn't
own.
Have an ebook.
Right.
Barnes & Noble has the Nook and Amazon has the Kindle.
They did, but it came,
and
theirs came so
theirs
late.
Theirs came, so they were so late to the table. Yeah. They were late to the party. And they got out, and it's just the business contracted them. It's no reason, you know, there's no reason to have that anymore in that sense.
I know, but on the other sense, the book industry just lost. Ultimately, physical books are worth more to them than ebooks are in the end because they can charge more for physical books. And
Well, but physical books cost money, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You got to have a store. The store's having
rents. What I'm saying, the digital economy is crushing a lot of old-fashioned businesses.
I know.
It
but
really is.
You know what?
The fucking post office is going to go away.
The post office is going to go away. They're going to keep the post
office. It's going to, but it's in trouble.
They're subsidizing the post office. But, you know, the thing is, you know.
Not yet. They're not.
Okay, but people said the same thing about piano rolls.
I know.
That they're going to put musicians out of business. And sheet music was bad. Records were bad because records, when records came out, those were bad because now people stop buying sheet music.
Sure.
The goddamn store is full of sheet music. Clothes,
why?
Everywhere.
Why? What about the buggy whips?
Listen.
Who will cry for the buggy whip makers?
You know, all
you ever
that.
You ever seen Magnificent Ambersons?
Is that what they're the buggy
whip? Their wealth came from, they made lamps.
Okay, I've seen the Magnificent Ambersons, right. But not in forever, so.
They made like bicycle lamps,
okay,
or something. You know?
Yeah,
and then cars came out and they were crushed.
Yeah, I mean, it's every
stagecoach
technology. Whatever. Somebody,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What happened to the telephone operators? I mean, well, do we cry for the telephone operators?
And speaking
too?
Of prohibition,
I mean, you know
what they did talk about in prohibition was that the unintended consequence was that suddenly hundreds of thousands of people were put out of all these bartenders and waiters and.
Sure.
All these people got put out of work, although they eventually got jobs in speakeasies. But, you know, truck drivers and farmers, like it wiped out and it started part of the reason.
The ripple effect.
It started part of the ripple for the Great Depression.
Exactly.
Because what happens is when you a new mode of something or.
And it took that money and it put it underground and it put it into the criminal world instead of in the legitimate world.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I mean, you can cry about bookstores and record stores.
By the way, I've been looking at the Internet the whole time we're talking.
Of course you have.
So. I'm not.
It's been the subpar show we've had. So
I'm not crying about the. I'm crying about the.
Yeah, Corey's
the lost world
on the internet. Going all right.
Yeah,
I'll get you a magazine or something. Is your magazine still around?
Just imagine how
I subscribe to a magazine.
All right, you did comedy. We started doing comedy.
Comedians are pretty much out of business too. So
yeah, thank you. We started doing comedy at about the time, you know, the internet was around and prevalent.
Sure,
but. You still had to go and, like, try and find the porn barn.
You kind of did, yeah.
In Duberville,
Iowa. Well, there wasn't streaming video or anything at that point.
Right.
You know, back in the late 90s.
But imagine what a guy in the 80s had to go through. He had to watch. Well, I mean,
to
I
see
guess,
a pair of tits was
I guess they did have the scramble boxes on the cable.
They
and,
did,
and you
but.
Could charge, but then you're going to, then you got to charge the hotel $5, and you're sitting there going, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Or you got to use your memory, or. You got to just fuck bitches on the road, which, I mean, that still has its merits, but I'm just saying.
Well, they say that the internet and laptops have put a lot of that hotel pay-per-view and stuff is in trouble now because that's not generating the money for the hotel.
I have pay-per-view porn. I have pay-per-view porn on my computer or my cable.
What?
I'm sorry.
Who?
I have pay-per-view porn.
What, Dr. Freud?
Thank you. I have pay-per-view porn.
On your cable box.
I'm not actually looking at porn right at the second.
No, you might as well.
But I could. I have pay-per-view porn on my cable.
Yeah.
I have never thought once of using it.
Right, yeah.
Every now and then I'll scroll, like, I'll be scrolling channels.
The titles
and
or
I'll
something.
Be like, tight, hot teens.
Yeah.
And I'll go, well, hey, what do you know? That's and I'm glad it's there. I'm excited that it's
you
there.
You want to have access to it.
But then I look and I go, $14.99.
Right.
For something I want to watch once,
yeah,
that's the worst model.
That's a bad
At least
one.
If it's a DVD. And porn, you know, depending on the porn, if it's a quality porn, you could get dozens of uses out of it.
If you have a DVD.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You go, well, I haven't seen that scene.
Well,
lately.
When you order the pay-per-views, they give you like a 24-hour window. So you can jerk off to it multiple times, provided, you know, you don't mind. You have to, you know, jerk off and then go have, you know, a meal or something or go to the gym. And then you can come back a couple hours later and keep jerking off to it until you're done with 24 hours.
You know,
but you might not want to.
I do have nostalgia for the magical time when I lived in a house with a bunch of guys and we all had our own porn collections. And there was a daily, it was like a library.
Oh.
There was a porn library.
Really? I've never had that.
Do you have Dirty Debutantes 56? Well, I do, sir. Would you like, what would you like in exchange for it? I think Young Snatches 5 looks like an up-and-comer.
That one's out right now, Corey.
Yeah. No, I lent that to Joe. Oh, well, maybe. Does I heard Mike has a big boobs. Wonderland of Jugs 49. Is that available? Is that yeah.
Do you want to get into Steve Jobs now that we're talking
Speaking
technology?
Of that was a great porn, getting into Steve Jobs.
It was gay porn.
Yeah, it was. It was
a guy, a big bear like Steve Wozniak would bend him over. And then there was one scene.
That was a
there was a Bill Gates lookalike, right. You know.
Well, there was a twink who played Bill Gates, and then Jeff Stryker would come in and just really run him rough.
Well, there was a big hulking bald Steve Ballmer lookalike that would get lubed up, and no, yeah. It's.
I was about to try and name some gay black porn stars, but I couldn't think of any.
It's
so
fine.
There
you go. No one needs that.
All right, fine.
But Steve Jobs died yesterday, and.
You know,
I don't know if he heard the iPhone 4S announcement. That's a joke.
Thank
that
you.
Killed him. No, he died of cancer. Had a long fight.
By the time you step down from the company, that's usually a signal that things aren't going well.
Yeah, and he stepped down what, September or something?
Yeah,
September?
He only stepped down a few weeks ago. It was barely a month.
So he knew the end was near.
Yeah, I would imagine that it was coming. That was a celebrity death that did not affect me.
Yeah.
Sometimes when big iconic people die, you go, wow. It kind of, even though you know everybody's going to die,
sure.
It does accept us. We're cockroaches.
We always hear, like, when Sinatra died, like, what is the world going to be like without Sinatra?
And it turned out the world was
fine. The world's fine without Sinatra.
Right. But
Sinatra.
I mean, look, Elvis, right. we were kids.
Elvis.
But like Elvis would have been a right. massive thing when he died.
Well, there's people who
Michael Jackson. Everybody right. flipped out. And personally, it got excited because I had him on the death pool.
You did.
But it didn't affect me in a like was I going, what will the world be like without Michael Jackson? No, yeah. I was fine.
Well, some people get cut off. You know, Kurt Cobain, John Lennon,
yeah.
guys like that. They would have done other things that
John
you would
Lennon
have enjoyed.
John Lennon was only a couple years older than us.
River Phoenix.
When he died. You know, like.
Who was?
John Lennon
was 40.
Yeah, he's only a couple years older,
older
than you
than
and
me.
I are.
Yeah.
So we were like.
Kurt Cobain was 27.
Yeah, I know.
We've outlived him by
a long
time.
We outlived Jimi Hendrix
yeah,
and
all
Kurt
these
Cobain
guys.
And done nothing.
Yeah.
So, it's
but you
weird.
Hear about these guys, James Dean, River
yeah.
Phoenix, these guys, and they really could have accomplished other things.
I think Steve Jobs wasn't that old, really.
But he accomplished a lot in his life.
Right. When they said 56, I went, really? I thought he was 62.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever.
Well, you know, he's a guy who, you know, the winds of change were blowing and probably not in their direction anymore. I mean, who knows what they would have come up with. But I think whatever Apple did, whatever innovation, whatever revolution, if you want to give him credit for that, it's done already. So in a sense, he you know,
well,
his legacy was already intact in that way.
You know, when they talk about the canary in the coal mine, the canary dies because the coal mine's got...
right.
If the coal mine's got gas in it,
yeah.
it dies. That's the problem. Apple has been incredible, and that's what's amazing about Steve Jobs. Is that not only was he a pioneer, but he managed to build his company into something mammoth.
Yeah.
Like, look at it that way. Okay, the iPod
mm-hmm.
managed to be the first real MP3 player and the most successful.
Yeah.
That doesn't usually happen. Usually what happens is somebody...
But it wasn't the first. It was the refined...
Okay.
That's the thing with Apple. Apple didn't invent anything.
That's true. They ripped off the Xerox.
It's not even that they ripped off. They mm-hmm. introduced things... that other people had sort of invented.
They did them better.
And they did them better, and they refined it. I mean, Steve Jobs' thing was industrial design. He was a big fan of industrial design and simplicity. And so he made his theory on his products is he would make products that were better than the MP3 players that are already out there, or better than the PCs that were already out
right.
there. And that was what he wanted. That's how he did what he did. And that's why he charged the money that he charged for his devices, which in turn made Apple as successful as it was. He was able to get people to pay twice as much for a laptop computer as they might have paid for a similar laptop computer that wasn't made by Apple.
Well, that's true.
And that's how that company made their money. Because while everyone else was dealing with thin margins...
Mm-hmm.
You know, where things got cheaper and cheaper, and you know, they would be charging all this money and making, you know, exorbitant profits, and that's how Apple made its money.
But ultimately, Apple made really good products, and they still do. And
they still do. But the thing about it wasn't so much that they made good products, because lots of companies that made good products, went out of business.
Yeah.
The reason Apple succeeded is
they made appealing and
they
sexy
made people
products.
Love their yeah. products. Yeah. And that's what Jobs did. Because people compare Jobs to Henry Ford and all, mm-hmm. or Thomas Edison and all stuff. And I go, no, he's a salesman, essentially. I mean, he did a lot. He wore a lot of hats. But his success, his legacy, is that he was able to convince people that Apple's products were better than everyone else's products. And that's what he did. And he was that spokesman of that Apple lifestyle.
Well, not just,
and he
not
had
just
people
his,
bought into that.
Not just a spokesman, but a he painted a picture. He painted a world that yeah. was exciting for people.
He made people want that. He would go into your wallet and you say, no, this is my money. Fuck you, you ain't having it. And then he'd show up with some gizmo in his fucking turtleneck, and he'd go up there, and he'd click and he'd clank around, and everyone would go ooh and ah, and they'd go sign up and they'd buy this shit. People buy this Apple shit before they even handle it, before they ever see it with their own two eyes. They're signing up and they're buying it. And why? Because of him.
Right.
That was his success.
Now, I don't have an iPad. I don't have...
You have an iPod.
We have a Mac.
You have a Mac. It was your girlfriend's Mac, though, right?
Yeah, but it's the one we
use. The house Mac. The house computer.
And it's I love it. I love the Mac.
You love the Mac.
I would get another one in a heartbeat.
Corey loves the Mac.
But they're expensive.
They're very expensive.
You're right. It's expensive.
And they're not really. Here's the thing.
I'll tell you what I will say one thing. This is what I will say for the Mac. Now the user system, the interface, the operating system. Safari can fuck off their web browser.
Their web browsers.
It's not that good.
It's not that good.
I run Firefox on the Mac.
On the Mac, sure.
And I know he hated Flash. And right. He hated all kinds of... He really did kind of hate a lot of the open source...
Well, that's the thing.
Code languages.
Apple was not for standards.
No.
It's generally been a closed system.
Right.
It's not for standards. And, you know, they manufacture the hardware and the software... Which is where nobody else really did that.
Right.
And still don't. And the other companies don't, still.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Palm did that or something, but, you know, they've been sold. So a lot of these companies that tried to do both, it didn't work for.
No, and that's another facet of Apple's success. Yeah. They were successful in designing software and manufacturing hardware.
But the hardware is where they made their money.
Right.
That's where they continue to make this huge pile of cash mm-hmm. is because the people that this hardware.
iPhones,
which are made in China, mm-hmm. like any. And by the way, all these hippies who want to save the earth and all this shit.
Right.
You're buying stuff made. All the Apple stuff is made by a company called Foxconn out of China, who makes every other gizmo that's ever sold anywhere.
Yeah.
So a lot of these people who are save the earth environmentalists, and they're all on their Macs and their iPhones, all these people marching on Wall Street, you're buying Chinese fucking products made by little kids. And then when you don't want that anymore and you throw it into a recycle bin, it gets put on a ship, gets sent back to China, and ends up in a river where it's mercury poisons young children.
Absolutely.
So there you go.
Right.
That's what happens with your Mac.
Well, what happens is
you hippie granola eating, smelly, patchouli, stinking, fish listening fuck.
Calm down now.
Okay.
But yeah, you're right. No, they pay a Indonesian guy $20 to hit, you know, TVs and iPhones with a hammer.
Yeah, that's what they do with that. Yeah.
Parts.
And then they all end up going back there.
Mm-hmm. No, in terms of being a green company, Apple is not the
But that's the thing
company.
About Apple. It's you know, and it's the same thing. I'm getting off the Steve Jobs talk and I'll get back on it. But hippies and environmentalists and all these people who are anti-corporate, anti-big business. If they love that big business, you can't have enough Whole Foods. You can't have a big... We want a whole... No, this Whole Foods isn't big enough. Build us a fucking bigger one. Build us another Trader Joe's. Give me another Volkswagen. Give me an Apple. Give me a new iPhone every year. Yeah, your old iPhone's good. I don't want the new one.
You know...
Don't make a computer you can upgrade like a PC...
Well,
get a Mac.
Hey, case in point.
And then just throw it away and get a new one.
Hey, case in point, Borders.
Yes.
So many people hated Borders because they were a big corporate chain.
Sure.
Now that it's gone,
they're
going to, people are going to really bellyache. The people that loved books and collected books, right?
Yeah, they're
going to really go, what happened? How come Borders went away? They killed all the mom and pop bookstores. Well, they're right. And guess what? They killed the mom and pop bookstores. And now there won't be any fucking books because you didn't support the corporate chain.
There won't be books.
There's something to what you're saying.
Anyway, but let's get back to Steve Jobs.
He's dead. Good for him. Fuck him.
See.
All right.
Steve Jobs. You can't take it with you. Oh, by the way, I'm working on my assholes of the year.
Oh, good.
Well, and now, do you want to see? I'm not giving you.
Are you going to preview?
I'm not telling you who's on the list, but.
Okay.
Is there a chance Steve Jobs is on the list?
Really?
I know you're saying the guy died. How, Joel? Can he be on? And remember, we both put Greg Giraldo on last year who died, but we thought that he killed himself and OD'd on drugs and was not responsible.
Sure.
Steve Jobs. Now, this is according to Forbes.
Steve Jobs died of cancer. How do you going
to? Steve Jobs, according to Forbes.
Okay.
In their, what do you call that when somebody dies? That they write
obituary.
Obituary. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I should be reading more books.
Exactly.
According to Forbes obit, Steve Jobs found out he had cancer and immediately refused all modern medical treatment and went with alternative medicine.
Went Jim Henson on
For about 9 months.
Oh.
And then realized that his cancer didn't get any better. Because apparently whatever kind of cancer he had, it was, it was pancreatic cancer, but then it has another name because it actually spread to his liver and stuff too. And he had to have a liver transplant. Whatever it is has a high rate of, survivability is very high for the type of cancer that Jobs had. Uh-huh. So, I'm just saying.
Well, okay.
If he would have gone and done traditional medicine straight away, he might still be alive.
Jim Henson. He might. Had pneumonia.
Yeah.
Which is pretty curable.
Yes.
And he was a Christian Scientist.
Ah.
And actually what Henson did was he kind of was like, hey, don't worry about me. He didn't really want to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was kind of like...
He was stubborn more than he was religious.
Yeah. He was religious to a certain extent.
Yeah, there's just people that
It wasn't so much... He finally did go to the hospital at the end.
Yeah.
But he had waited so long that he got an infection.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. Come on.
Well, that's what Jobs did.
Who had more money than Jim Henson and Steve Jobs?
Steve Jobs could have had any... He could have built his own hospital just for him.
Jim Henson was as wealthy as I could ever dream times 20.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs could have bought him 40 times over. Right.
We know that at one point. Now, that's just not Steve Jobs.
Bottomless money.
Okay, first of all, Steve Jobs, by the way, didn't collect a salary.
Yeah.
He was so rich.
Right.
He lived off the stock dividends from Apple. So that's what he was making. But he, Apple at one point, now not his personal wealth, but earlier this year, they said that Apple actually had more cash on hand than the United States government.
I don't doubt it.
That's how rich Apple is as a country.
Don't doubt it.
So,
because they sold these fakakta iPhones to
and they give new one every year.
You know why I don't have an iPhone?
Why?
I don't want to pay $60 a month for the data plan.
Well, it's what do you pay for your phone right now? Do you know?
Not enough. Not
what do you
too
pay?
Much.
What do you pay?
You
gotta have some ballpark. I mean, is it 50, 60, 70?
It's about 60.
You're paying too much.
I know. And then, but I would get.
But you have no data plan?
But then, I do. I just, but if I. If I went to a full smartphone, I'd pay another $50.
What are you on? Who's your carrier?
Verizon.
There you go.
Yeah.
They're the fucking rich fat cats.
Now
people say you pay more for Verizon because it works, but I don't know what your experience
is. That's what they claim about Apple too.
Well, I will say
I've had Verizon for a long time, and I'm fairly
right. But I've had problems talking to you, and your phone will die or something. But I don't know that. I mean, that's probably every carrier.
Every
I don't know
phone
if I'm
in
blaming.
The world.
Right, yeah.
I'll tell you what it's good about Verizon. There's been very few places I've gone, here's the place I went where it didn't work. Europe.
Okay.
That's a fucking place. Verizon,
actually,
you might want to get a phone to fucking work.
Well, that's the new iPhone is a world phone.
Yeah.
It is a GSM radio. That's the problem with Verizon is not GSM.
There's parts of the UP I've gone to that it didn't work,
yeah.
But I've been in California and all kinds
of
places.
But they say Verizon has data anywhere if you do have a smartphone. And I would like to get Verizon. The problem is my T-Mobile plan that I've had for 11 years I've been with T-Mobile. I'm grandfathered in on a plan that I can't match now, even with whoever. Like, Sprint is probably the cheapest overall, everything, data, text, minute plan that you can get. It's about $79, I think, for their 4G speeds. I'm getting that for about $69 on T-Mobile.
There you go.
I'm getting 4G on my Android. It's not unlimited minutes, unlimited text, but it's 1,000 with free nights and weekends. It's more than I need.
Well, there you go.
So for $70, I'm getting the equivalent of what Verizon's $100 plan is right now.
Right.
So for me to switch right now doesn't make any sense.
No.
Because I'm on T-Mobile, and
what about
Singular?
What do you think? Singular?
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 You want Singular?
You want some Nextel? What do you want, dude? Come on over to the store.
Singular is now AT&T.
You need a beeper?
I don't need a beeper.
I'll help
Thank
you up.
You.
What's up?
Thank you.
Ameritech?
Where do you work again?
What do you want, Ameritech?
I thought you worked at the BP.
I do. That's a BP.
No, the fuck BP.
Yeah, that's a, mobile.
Yeah, fuck you from the mobile. I thought you worked at BP. I actually confused.
I spit on BP. I fucking spit on them.
Okay, I'm sorry. Spit I thought you worked at BP.
Mobile, number one.
Mobile's number one. Of course.
You want an Ameritech phone? What do you need?
I could get an Ameritech. Singular? Sure, anything.
Nextel?
Do you have that? Okay. And it's funny too that
you need a beeper. What do you need, a beeper?
Pager?
Cell phones. What do you got? A beeper, pager?
It's funny how many wireless carriers there used to
be. Look at this. I got a TurboGrafx 16.
Oh, you do. That's terrific. That?
You know what? I don't get all weepy.
But people are, because T-Mobile. You know, AT&T wants to buy T-Mobile, and the government said you can't, and now T-Mobile is saying they might have to be sold to somebody else.
I'll tell you what. I don't get all weepy and mopey for. The days of 45 different carriers.
Right, yeah.
But when it gets down to two, then you know what I mean?
But what you're paying is affected by the competition.
Yeah, yeah.
That the problem with T-Mobile is that they don't have enough people. First of all, they don't have the iPhone.
Right.
And that's hurt them because all these other carriers, now Sprint is going to have the new iPhone, the 4S. AT&T had the iPhone from the inception. Verizon's had it for about a year. And all of this stuff is causing T-Mobile. People would switch to T-Mobile if they actually had maybe more what people want. I mean, T-Mobile's been a big Android thing.
T-Mobile works in Germany, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, because they're Deutsche Telekom. That's
They work in Europe, but remember, not Verizon. Verizon doesn't work in goddamn Europe.
If I can revise my statement, I actually signed up with VoiceStream Wireless. Yeah. Who was bought by Deutsche Telekom and became T-Mobile.
Oh, well, there
So that's
go.
How old school I am.
I got to say, when I was...
I'm from VoiceStream.
When I was like...
OG VoiceStream in the Hizet!
When we were like getting ready to go to the airport and I called Verizon to be like, hey, is my phone going to work? And they were like, nope. And I went, oh, so I got a useless fucking brick.
Yeah, well, don't even bring it.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times you can go rent a phone or something if you're in Europe. I don't know. I haven't traveled to Europe in the cell phone sort of era. I mean, people had cell phones the last time I was there, but I didn't have one and I didn't really miss it.
You didn't have a mobile.
I didn't have mine.
Did you check your mobile?
I didn't have one in the States, I don't think.
No.
I might have. I don't think. 2000.
Oh, that's quite
so 11
long.
Years ago. Yeah,
that's quite a while.
I may have not had my cell phone even at that point. I maybe had a cell phone.
Yeah, but it's that's the hey Verizon go get some European coverage. You fuck.
Well, they're you know whatever. They're the best. But everything's got a pro and a con.
Sure.
To it, you're on Verizon. You have the best coverage. Mm-hmm. You have the best data coverage. Certainly, you're supposedly going to have the fastest 4G network. Whenever that's, I think it's rolled out. But
there you go.
They don't have a lot of phones. Still, you can't go to Europe and have it work, or you can't do this and have it work, and you know.
Oh, creeps!
So it's well, they also don't have a 4G sliding keyboard phone on Android yet.
No,
Verizon. No,
no, they don't.
I
God, is this boring? All right, moving along.
All right,
goodbye, Steve Jobs. Who would have been
Steve Jobs.
44 big points, and if we were still doing
Deathpool. Yeah, if we were doing Deathpool, he was worth a lot.
But can we move on to another guy whose career died today?
Yeah, go ahead, and then I'm going to queue up something. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Are you?
Oh, you want to hear this right now?
Yeah, queue it up.
I can do this for you, buddy. It's fine. I gotcha. You want it, you got it. Corey, are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
Corey, are you ready?
Woo, I'm ready.
Are you ready, Corey?
I'm ready for some douchebags.
Are you ready? Corey, are all your rowdy friends?
I don't have any friends left anymore.
And they're not very rowdy.
Rowdy or otherwise.
It's Monday night and we're ready to strike. Our special forces are in full flight.
Woo!
Coming by air and on the ground. Monday night football's taking over the...
Woo!
We gotta get ready. We gotta get right. It's gonna be a battle in the NFL tonight.
They finally fired this hick.
Good God.
So get ready.
We gotta at least listen to when he says...
I mean, get ready.
It was the most annoying theme song. As much as
are you ready for some muskrat? Woo! Are you ready to eat squirrel? Are you ready to hump a girl that's your cousin? Cause we can do that shit tonight. Are you ready for some liver failure?
Alright.
Are you ready for unemployment?
Hank Williams is dead.
Are you ready for a GED?
I literally gotta take my headphones off.
Oh god.
I'm screaming too loud.
It's the worst. I mean, that fucking
They got rid of it. It's a great day.
It is a
It's a great day. They got rid of the theme to Monday Night Football.
This is what's amazing, okay? The Lions are having the best season they've had in
they are.
In deck. I mean, okay, technically they were 6-2 under Marinelli. Yeah. And that was started good.
Yeah.
But this is going to be a better season ultimately than
they're 4-0.
They've had since the 90s.
Yeah.
And the best part about it this week, there's a couple good parts about it. That they're on Monday Night Football.
They are.
Jay Cutler's got a crappy offensive line that we're going to eat and victimize. And there will be no Hank Williams Jr.
on
the Lions Monday Night Football broadcast.
That's the worst. It's funny because in TV, the trend is to get rid of opening credits and themes and shit like that.
Have you seen The New Girl?
Yeah, it's she's
here's the New
song.
Girl. Here's the theme song of The New Girl. It's The New Girl. Yeah. Do. That's it.
Whitney has nothing. Whitney, she walks across the screen and says Whitney, and that's it. There's no stroke. We'll get into Whitney and all those dumb new shows in a minute. But
although honestly, everybody's all nostalgic for theme songs.
Well,
but you got to listen to that goddamn theme song every week.
Every week, yeah.
Seinfeld had like a 2-second theme song, and that kind of changed it for everybody.
Friends had their song.
Yeah, and you had to.
I'll be there for you.
Yeah, you got to listen to that crap every week.
Well, that's true.
And everybody goes, "Oh, remember when it was the?" But they used to do story songs. You know, the Brady Bunch. They would tell you about the whole history of
Laverne
the Brady Bunch.
Laverne and Shirley.
They would talk about
Shlemiel Shlemagel.
The one time that Shirley got a yeast infection and they had to go down to the doctor.
Give us any rule to break it, Corey.
And they told you which bus they took in Milwaukee.
They're
going to
make their dreams come
Haas
true.
Haas & Pfeffer Incorporated.
Do it always.
Right. They were story songs. And what all that did was take 2 minutes out of the show.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm. I used to get all weepy.
It's more room for commercials in all likelihood than
it is for
actual show content.
Right.
You know.
No. When I'm playing bar trivia and I need to know the words to the, you know, give me a break, I'm great with that. But it's not necessary for the enjoyment of the television program.
How does give me a break go?
Give me a break because I sure need one. Give me a break. Look, anyway, what I'm saying is sometimes you got to go where everybody knows your name.
Well, that's cheers.
I know. But, you know, look. We don't want to do. Let's do TV theme songs, everybody.
Well, we're going to get into music.
Hey, it's Barry.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about Hank Williams.
It's Barry and Dingle.
Hank Williams.
645.
Hank Williams.
Partly cloudy. 62
compared
degrees.
Compared Obama to Hitler. He didn't really compare Obama to Hitler, but he used some weird analogy of Netanyahu was a Jew and he played with. He's comparing the Republicans and Democrats to the Nazis and the Jews.
Right.
And that's really not
Which,
fair.
By the way, the Israeli army did not exist in the time of the Nazis.
I understand.
So that's really a weird analogy.
In his mind, it worked. In his mind, it was fair.
What goes on in his.
I don't know.
Fucking drunk, bourbon soaked Hill Jack mind. What goes on in that fetid dick cheese skull of his?
In a way, I kind of go, you know, maybe guys should be able to espouse their beliefs and not have, but in the case of this awful song, there's no argument that you could give me to keep this thing around. It's over. It should be canceled for just sucking.
It's been around 15 years too long. It's a dreadful song.
It's horrible.
He's a dreadful musician. Hey, Hank, why do you drink? To get drunk. Look, he's right up there in the musical criminals file with Jimmy Buffett.
don't think that Jimmy's not on speed dial with ESPN right now going, I got something
Hey,
good.
Y'all.
I'm down in the keys. I'm whipping up something good for you. I'm working on this song. It's called Touchdown in Paradise.
There you go, everybody.
That's going to be the new song.
Who else? Sammy Hagar?
I'm sure there's a lot of guys.
Hagar's in wait.
I'm sure there's you know. Well, I mean, Sunday Night has their theme song. You know what that is?
What's that?
It's Faith Hill basically singing, I believe it's a Joan Jett song.
Don't black people watch football, too?
Can they throw
a Nelly track in there for somebody, right? Don't you think? Wouldn't that be the first thing Monday Night Football? They'd be like, all right, we got that hillbilly out of here. Let's, who's got Kanye's number?
Yeah,
can we
exactly,
get Kanye?
Because
Kanye, first of
What's
all.
What's Flo Rida doing?
They don't want to go thug.
They don't want to go Flo Rida? I don't think Flo Rida's a thug. He's more of a club guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Flo Rida, you don't think he's a thug.
You know what? And then Kanye's too controversial on the other side.
Sure.
See, remember when ESPN they hired Rush Limbaugh and that blew up in their face?
It did.
What a surprise that was. They hired a guy who does only. Only throws grenades.
And those guys have all the fun.
Right.
Apparently they say you can't say Hitler at ESPN.
Okay.
That it's a banned word.
Okay.
And they've suspended, I forget exactly.
You know what
in that massive 8,000-page book.
Right.
About the people who got suspended for comparing a coach to Hitler.
You know what should be banned from ESPN?
What's that?
Here's a couple words. A few, It's two words and a letter.
Who's that?
That should be banned from ESPN. And I thought they had done it, but now they've
Matt Millen.
Matt Millen is a good one.
Oh, go ahead.
They've reneged. No, pardon the pun.
Yeah.
Stephen A. Smith.
Those are the words
that should be banned from ESPN. That schmagagan, he was on there. Like I put on Facebook the other day, he was all over the Lions nuts.
Oh, God.
He had Jim Schwartz.
What do they put him on? Do they put him on first?
He and Skip Bayless
arguing
together. Now, Kobe Bryant is not going to let the NBA lockout.
They got to get rid of him.
Skip Bayless.
I was going to say, because, you know, it's been a great... I'm going to get on music in one thing, but real quick. It's been a good year for getting rid of old fossils. Now we got rid of Hank Williams. Andy Rooney, who I actually enjoyed, just did his last thing this week. You enjoyed Andy Rooney, too, didn't you?
Well, I enjoyed a 93-year-old man with Wolverine eyebrows who hasn't had an erection since... Betty Ford was the first lady.
Did you see the whole profile with him and everything the other day?
Oh, yeah.
The final 60 minutes.
What an old crotchety coot.
Because he really did. Because you kind of look at Andrew and go, hey, he's looked like that for a long time. Yeah. But no, his face has sort of slid. Gravity has, like, taken his face and pulled it down to, like, his chest.
Oh, yeah.
It's very odd.
When you're super old and your muscles have just
given up. Yeah, he's really odd looking.
Honestly, what do you think his last boner was? I'm thinking it might have been... Raquel Welch. That might have been his last.
That might have been it. Maybe Gina Lola Brigida.
Gina Lola Brigida. That's a good one. Yeah. Sophia Loren.
This is Larry King. Give me some Angie Dickinson.
Ladies and gentlemen, bad impressions.
Still as good as it gets.
You ever notice that Corey and Joel can't do good impressions?
Give me some of that Raquel Welch. That's a lady right there.
That's
Julie
Newmar. Wonderful, wonderful actress.
I spent an evening with Claudia Cardinale.
You know, you don't get more all-American clean cut and wholesome than Connie Stevens. That's a dame. Look. I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
I thought you were going to say Connie Prince.
Oh, that hurt. Her too.
All the Connies.
Yeah.
Connie Selica as well.
I didn't care for her.
Not my type.
Too skinny.
But we got Regis is leaving in November. We're going to have a party when Regis leaves. We're going to have hats and noisemakers for Regis.
It'll be a special show.
Cake and ice cream for Regis.
I'm going to book it right now.
A live
blogging. We'll have guests.
We'll
do a live podcast during Regis's last show.
We'll just patch in Regis off the TV.
Yeah, and we'll just yell at that old fuck. Joey and I went to Rayo's the other night.
We got rid of Jerry Lewis this year. Larry King,
Jerry
Regis.
Lewis is a little sad.
They kind of fired Jerry.
Because I loved the telethon with all my heart. Because you couldn't get more insanity. You know what I'm missing? Insanity on television.
He was barely on the telethon
last
few years.
But when he came on and he... acted like Charo was getting him off. Speaking of broads that Andy Rooney jerked off to. But, you know, I find Joanne Worley on the
He never did anything about women on his show. He was all about how much coffee is in the can and did they lower the amount. And
I married my wife Sadie in 1952, and I haven't looked at a woman since. No, he did, and he was irascible. And Morley Safer, by the way, is the young fucking gun of the old 60 Minutes crew.
A pen you have to click at the end. I'd rather twist my pens. You can have these kind of pens, and they don't twist or click at all.
This is a great...
pull the cap off.
I mean, I could do... You know what? Fuck this.
This stuff was trivial and ridiculous.
To delete all the stuff we've done already. Let me do an hour on Andy Rooney.
We'll just start over again. All right.
Now, one of my favorite Andy Rooney's, he did an episode about all the shoes in his closet.
Yeah. He didn't want all the wristwatches he owned.
Right. Why do I have 4 nutcrackers? I don't even eat that many walnuts. But he would do stuff like that.
Just trivial
bullshit.
What is
this corkscrew in my drunk drawer? But he did one about all the shoes he had in his closet, and he pulled them out, and he was like, these are wingtips. These are penny loafers. And then he pulled out, he's like, these were popular when I was in college. They're white Bucks with red rubber soles. And he pulled out his white leather Bucks that he had since 1935, in his fucking closet, and I went, good God, you old fossil, aren't you using resources that some... John Lennon only lived less than half the time that Andy Rooney's been on Earth.
Fucking Andy Rooney. Anyway, so Andy's gone. Good night, funny man. He's not dead, but
funny.
You never know if these guys are going to die.
He's not dead. What time is it?
Well, exactly. Let me check the internet.
Let me check the clock.
All right, Corey. Well, now it's time for one of our favorite segments on the show, a long-running thing that we've done here.
Yeah.
For many, many times on Joel Radio, I know I get lots of feedback emails. It's we're going to do our Battle of the Bad Music right now, Corey. It's our favorite. We haven't done that in a long time.
Have we done that? Did we ever do that?
I think Corey play along.
All right. Oh.
Battle of the Bad Music is back, Corey. How excited are you?
That's a great. That's
so you tell me what.
That's a wonderful bit. That's right up there with Jerk Off Home Companion. And
that we actually did. All right, you tell me what's worse. I'm going to play this first one for you. Do you want to know what this is, or you just want to go on? Should I tell you who the artist is?
No.
Or will that just ruin it for
should
you?
Should I guess?
All right. Well, I'll play this first one for you. You tell me. You got to give this one a little time. This one develops into one of these.
I am a chorus.
I know what this is.
You know exactly what this is?
I can name that in three bars.
You can name that in three power chords.
Lou Reed and Metallica.
Yeah, this is the new Lou Reed and Metallica. This is called The View. A science of the heart.
This should be the theme music to The View.
Here's my contention. This is what this sounds like. And if you're listening, this is one song. People might think that I queued up two records at the same time.
Yeah.
And just put them on. I don't know that Lou's listening to the music. That's I don't know what this is. Is he even, is there even any, like, there is no time for guilt. What is this? It's called shit, Joel. This is horrible. I am the truth, the beauty that causes you to cross your sacred boundaries. Like he's not even, there's no melody to this. It's just,
it's wreckative.
It sounds like every generic Metallica song with, like, Lou Reed. I have no morals. I'm just talking over it. Someone who despises. Who's listening to this?
No one's listening to Metallica.
You and I are, but
who's listening to Metallica anymore?
Well, even if you did, though, I mean, just formed angel. The chorus is more typical Metallica because James Hetfield starts singing.
Oh, well, shit, let's get into.
Yeah, I think it's next. I hope. Give it up. Your life of reason. I mean, I find Lou Reed very boring anyway. I want you on the floor. Are you a Lou Reed guy?
There's
some Velvet Underground you like.
There's a few albums I love, yeah.
But I mean, like, a generic, like a Lou Reed album now, you wouldn't care about. Someone who actively despises you would be like, I don't need this. No. Worship someone who acts. And I want to get as the chorus coming.
I'm not going to buy the new Leonard Cohen album either.
Now Hetfield's singing. It's better. I am the progress. But it's better than when Lou's singing, right? I mean,
stop. I can't take it anymore.
No, it's terrible. But at least that's better than when Lou's singing.
I guess. Is that singing?
Well, he's yelling.
It's kind of, that's like Shatner. That's like.
But I'm like, who wants that record?
No one wants that.
All right, I'm going to play you this now.
You know what? I understand Metallica's point of view that they're like, well, it's Lou Reed. We can work with Lou Reed.
Something new for them to do.
Has anything in their 30-year career ever sounded like it was influenced by Lou Reed?
Yeah, it's an odd collaboration.
Right? You know what I mean? If Weezer or, you know what I'm saying?
By the way, I don't have the Insane Clown Posse Jack White song here as part of this comparison, but
sure.
That's another odd.
If the Decemberists said, hey, we'd like to do a song with Lou Reed, I'd go, well, of course.
Of course.
Because that's where your band came. Yeah. I love the Velvet Underground and Nico. I love the Velvet, their albums they all started leaving and the albums got
exactly
worse, loaded and all that stuff. But White Light, White Heat. I love the Velvet Underground albums. I do love Lou Reed. I like, Transformer and Berlin.
He has a generic default, and that's what that is. And it's laid over Metallica's default, and it's terrible.
It's dreadful.
It's horrible music. All right.
I'd rather hear Pat Boone's metal album.
He did make one.
Yeah, it's just dreadful.
A bunch of covers, though, I'm guessing. And tell me if this is
they were all originals. Pat Boone wrote originals.
Tell me, this is
Pat Boone never did an original in his life.
Now tell me what's worse, this or do you even know what this is?
Trying to guess what the Radiohead?
Yeah, Radiohead on SNL the other night.
I missed this, and I'm glad.
No, you missed nothing.
This is the part where a song would start.
Exactly. It just goes on and on. All
right. Right.
But they don't. They're embarrassed by Creep. That they don't like anymore.
Right.
This they'd rather.
They don't
make.
Like the Bends. That's an album you don't want to listen.
Yeah,
to.
Yeah, the Bends is no good. Now we're 53 seconds in. What the fuck is this? Very sick.
You know, on a certain level, you can kind of understand this. Like, when John Lennon and Yoko started going into conceptual stuff.
Yeah.
Because he was the best on earth at making pop songs.
I guess.
He got bored with it. These guys were not the best on earth at making pop songs.
Well, they did make hugely critically acclaimed records that were pop records.
Right.
I heard that Tom York basically lost his ear from melody. I mean, really, I'm not making this up. It's like he literally can't write pop songs anymore. He just lost.
Is his ear damaged?
What?
Or?
No, he just lost the ear.
He
meaning,
lost his
not
fat
the ear, whatever
mentally,
the ear means.
Mentally, he lost
in music.
His, he lost.
He the, lost his ear for melody. He can't put notes together in a melodic way anymore.
Really, he lost his
and
fastball.
And so when they made Kid A, which was their first sort of experimental record, and a lot of people went like, "Well, this is a big piece of shit." Then it was kind of like explained that way. And then their album that was after that, which I forget what it was called, it was sort of the they made it alongside
okay, computer,
Kid A. No,
Kid A,
and then whatever the next one was.
Yeah.
And then that one didn't have it. And then for Hail to the Thief, they wrote a couple of tunes. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of a return to form. It was a little bit experimental. And then this is from, I think this is from, what is this called? The King of Limbs.
Okay.
They've self-released two records now, In Rainbows and King of Limbs.
Mm-hmm. And In Rainbows had some stuff I liked.
It was okay. It was kind of like this, but a little more tuneful. And then this piece of fucking dire garbage.
Amnesiac
was the one that they made alongside Kid A. And that's really bad. Don't try to listen to Amnesiac.
Mm-hmm.
Kid A's got a couple of good songs on it. And then Hail to the Thief I thought was actually a pretty solid record. And then In Rainbows and this King of Limbs is just unlistenable shit. So there you go, Radiohead.
You know, and then sometimes people just do stuff and they never, like, that's all they got in them.
Yeah.
But
see, you know what? It's too bad because, you know, when you talk about... This is good music. When you talk about, you know, Gone Too Soon and
I'm coming after you, you coward.
Good music.
Oh, yeah.
Set it off. Set it off.
I mean, this is way catchier than anything that's on the Metallica Lou Reed record. Alright, it's another Gone Too Soon. Macho Man.
I know. It's a shame because I heard he was gonna cut a track with Rick Ross and it was gonna be,
that's gonna be.
Yeah. He was gonna start a feud, a beef with Rick Ross.
They are doing that. Fabulous, I think, is on that as well.
So terrible.
Alright, let's get into some TV here because
Hulk Hogan! Get in the ring.
The late. Oh, Randy Poffo, I miss you already.
So last time people.
That's a guy I could have had more of. That's a guy I didn't.
Well,
have enough
he
of.
He became a bit of a recluse, which was too bad because he still had some entertainment value. But
absolutely,
being out of the public spotlight made people want him more, though. At the same time, so.
Well, that doesn't always.
You know.
That hasn't happened for me.
Oh,
being
that you're out of the public
being
spotlight?
Out of the public spotlight has never made anyone want to see me more.
No one cares. All right. We did our TV predictions last time with Matt McLowry. We were on the show.
I can't believe we took an hour to get to this.
I know. This is supposed to be the big topic, and we've just now gotten to it. So anyway, we've had our first two cancellations of the season.
Oh!
And those were both on NBC. The Playboy Club was the first one to go. Thank you for that, Corey. It officially ran for three episodes. Those were all that aired on NBC. That's about enough. Three episodes, which means, according to our predictions here, Matt McClary is the big winner. He predicted 4 episodes in no renewal. So he'll get 1 point again. It's the lowest points to win here. Corey predicted 6 episodes with no renewal. So that gives Corey 3 points based on that.
I got crazy. I went 6.
I went 8 like a maniac. So I got 5 big points.
Well, that's you really whiffed on
so
that.
So that hurts me. And then Free Agents was canceled today. That was Hank Azaria's.
Didn't we? And you know what's funny? I think you and I both brought up logic that NBC didn't have anything else, so they were going to stick with
well,
stuff.
They've replaced Playboy Club with reruns of Prime Suspect.
I thought they were going to do some Brian Williams show.
That's coming on, but it's not ready yet. So that'll start in the winter or something. But so anyway, Free Agents, which is at 8:30 on Wednesday, is gone as well. That also lasted 3 episodes. Matt McClary predicted 6. You predicted 6, and I predicted 8.
Mm.
Which means, I guess if you add everything up, Matt is at 4. You were at 6, and I'm at 10.
Wow, you're in the
hole. So I'm in deeply in the hole here.
I'm sorry,
so
what did I pick on Free Agents?
6. And it lasted 3, so that gives you 3 points.
Say I doubled up.
Well, I Matt McClary in the driver's seat. Matt lowballed a bunch of stuff. But anyway, now let's talk about some of these new shows. Anyone you want to talk about first?
Because hey!
I have my... Oh, let's do best new show, worst
well,
new
can
show.
I just, can I just go say, ahead. The Playboy Club was dreadful, and it deserved it.
Actually, the Playboy Club was not dreadful.
Oh, it was
awful. It was average. It's on NBC in a bad time slot. That's why it had as few viewers as it did.
No, it was dumb. It was a cheap. Well, looked like a cheap knockoff of Mad Men.
It kind
of
did.
The guy they cast looks like John Hamm.
It was not that bad. In fact, I've read lots of blog posts and forums where people were actually saying that Playboy Club deserved better because it really wasn't that bad of a show.
I will say that this and Pan Am are fundamentally flawed. Pan Am is better than the Playboy Club. But it's for girls. It's not for me.
It's for girls. It's a soap opera. It's a nighttime soap.
I'm capable. I'm big enough man to admit, even when something's not for me, if it's well done.
Sure.
Which is not the case with Footloose. Right. What a piece of shit. But
we can talk about that after.
But I will say this. The Pan Am, I said, this is not a show that I'm going to be wild about, but I could see if women liked it.
Sure.
I get it. Playboy Club was just wrongheaded because they threw in all this stuff about mobsters.
Yeah, they had the male appeal was the mobster story.
Which that didn't gel.
Yeah.
Like they were like, hey, let's be Mad Men and Glee and The Sopranos. That it was, you know what I mean? They had a musical number.
Again, I also thought it was doomed because it was called Playboy, and Playboy... women don't really enjoy Playboy, and it's sort of a low-rent brand, and that was going to hurt it. I thought the show, I only watched the first one, but me and my girlfriend both enjoyed it, and we thought that it looked nice. I thought that the production value was very good. I thought the chicks looked hot. I thought it was very, you know, it was by the numbers, mafia story and stuff. You know, if that had just been called some other 60s nightclub where girls were cocktail waitresses, that might have been
better. Chance, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway. Not so good.
Blech.
All right.
What else?
All right. So why don't we pick best new show, worst new show?
Okay.
I don't know if you're saying Playboy Club is the worst. I'll do my best new show first, and then you can do your best new show.
Okay.
Okay. Best new show.
I haven't seen everything.
I mean, I haven't either, and we'll talk about maybe some we didn't see. The best new show on TV this fall is something called Homeland, which is on Showtime with Claire Danes.
Well, now you're already outside of the boundaries.
I am out of what we did here, but I'm just saying because, believe me, if one of these shows on the networks was any good, I would have told you how good it was.
Yeah.
Homeland is really good. It's only aired once, but Claire Danes is a CIA operative who suspects that a American POW who is being released, he was in captivity for 8 years, comes back to the States, and she suspects that he may actually now be working for the enemy.
Oh.
That somehow he was brainwashed.
Ooh.
Yeah. So you have this sort of plot. And here's the wrinkle. Claire Danes herself is mentally ill and an nymphomaniac.
Well,
and
I'm going to give it up for the nymphomaniac part of it.
Like, they show her going to the hotel bar and just picking up guys and banging them.
Well,
and
I'd like to live in that world.
So Homeland's real good. I mean, it's one of those things where I guess the great mystery is the guy a spy or not? And you don't know.
What was the AMC show, The Killing?
The Killing was like that. And it's reminded me a lot of The Killing, which I liked a lot. Mm-hmm. Although people were really pissed off at The Killing by the end because each week you thought the next week they'd reveal something.
Too much of a swerve.
It was a tease. Everything was a swerve. And Homeland might end up like that, but right now it's real good. It's
very difficult to keep the momentum on a show like that.
Yeah.
You know, I watch Fringe, and they did a pretty good job of keeping suspense up, but at certain points, Fringe kind of bottoms out. And you go, whoops, we got to start out, like, you know.
So this one's got potential. I mean, it's cable, so I'm guessing it's less than, it's 10 episodes or less.
Sure.
They're hour-longs. By the way, if you want to see some tits, Marina Baccarin, you know who that is?
Yes, the V girl.
She was the V, I guess the queen, the lord of the overlord of
the
V.
The overlord of V.
And the latest V, who's real hot. First 5 minutes, tops off. She's riding the guy, titties.
Yeah. And you know what?
And she's hot as fuck.
Having seen her act, I think that's the best thing for her.
She's actually pretty good in this. All the acting's pretty good. You don't really, nobody's really famous besides Claire Danes and Mandy Patinkin is CIA guy.
Well, man, that's a good sign.
Well, whatever.
Mandy Patinkin can't stay with a show more than like
He's
year.
On cable now, he'll be all right. And he's good in it. So I really like this. Homeland on Showtime.
All right.
I think that's the best new show on this fall. Corey, the best new show this fall is... Look out for the tumbleweed, Corey. The shutters are blowing back and forth in the wind.
I wish I could make a cricket noise. I'm hard-pressed to...
I'll tell you what, Canteen's almost out of water.
There's a couple shows that are okay.
Okay, give us the best new show this fall. We'll talk about all of them. Give us the best one right now.
Up All Night?
Up All Night. And what makes... I haven't seen that.
It's not bad.
Yeah?
It's, well,
isn't that all about baby and the baby spit up jokes? Isn't that...
You would be... No, it's really more about them trying to stay cool with
Will
baby.
Arnett and Christina Applegate.
It's really more about... Like they have a next... A cool couple moves in next door.
Yeah.
And they're like... they go through a lot of phases where, like, they're mad at them because there's a party and they call the cops, but then they decide... That they can get a babysitter and go over and go to the cool party, and then the cops show up and they feel like assholes. It's more about them trying to maintain some semblance of their old lives.
Okay.
I kind of looked at it and went, oh, baby stuff, who cares?
Yeah.
But it's not bad. I would say you would probably be annoyed by the excessive Maya Rudolph.
I haven't watched it yet, and I think my girlfriend likes babies, so she would want to watch it. But
it's not really about the baby. Much like Raising Hope isn't really about the baby.
Will Arnett generally equals television off for me. That's been a rule that served me well over the
years.
You're
not excited about the new Arrested Development?
No, I'm not excited about the old Arrested Development.
See, that's where you're completely wrong.
I never got into it. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's not. I've never got into it.
There's a certain level of sophistication that you can't handle.
Well, it's not about... What are you saying? Like, you know what? Don't be all elitist about your fucking low-rated
show
that they threw off the air. Don't get all elitist on it.
It's a huge DVD
success. I like
a
lot of shit that got thrown off the air, too. So don't think you're the only one.
Arrested Development's a good show.
Maybe it is. I'm not saying it's not. But Will Arnett, I don't like. Whether the show's good or not. I'm not a fan of his acting.
He's
not a fan of his
comedy. He's not doing...
I don't find him funny.
He's not doing exactly the same kind of guy that he normally does.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a... I'm not saying he's rewriting television history.
He's a big dumb white guy. I don't need enough. There's enough of those guys.
He's doing
a
slightly different take on a big dumb white guy.
Not a fan.
Because he did sort of play the same Will Arnett kind of character.
Yeah. Well,
he played Joe Bluth over and over again. Joe Bluth, hysterically funny, and then he did it in Running Wild, and it wasn't as good.
Okay.
But this show, Up All Night's not bad.
Up All Night, Corey, liking
it. I can't think. It all sucks.
All right, let me give you the worst show, in my opinion, of the new season. And this is surprising, because we made these predictions.
We
made all of these
I have
things.
Not seen the show called, what is it, Mansers, or what the...
Man Up.
Man
it hasn't
up.
Aired yet, so you just
okay.
want to see.
Have not seen that, but I'm guessing Dan Fogler's in it. I'm holding tight. You know, The New Girl is not bad.
All right, we'll talk about New Girl, but that's not the best new... I thought you might say that's the best new show. Because I have the worst show. Let me tell you the worst show. And this surprised me, because as I filled the sheet out and we all agreed, the worst show on television this fall, the worst news show that I've seen, and I saw Playboy Club, I saw Pan Am, I saw Terra Nova, I saw New Girl, I've seen Whitney, for fuck's sake.
For the love
and
of
there's
God.
A show that's worse than all of them.
Oh, I know what
and
it is.
And this is the name of it.
Yeah.
Two Broke Girls.
Oh,
the number one
wow.
rated news show season is garbage. I wouldn't piss on that show if it was on fire. It is such a piece of shit. It's horrible, and I know why I hate it, too, and I figured that out.
Did you?
Because they've run three, and I've seen two of the three. Mm-hmm. I know why I hate it, and it's that Kat Dennings can't act her way out of her fucking paper bag. She is lifeless. It's horrible. She's an awful, awful,
would that show have been
actress.
Any better
awful.
With Whitney in it?
I don't think so, but Whitney's a better show.
Because Whitney Cummings created that show.
She did. But it's also the guy who created Sex and the City.
Right.
He has something
Here's my thing
as well.
Whitney Cummings is, what, 26 and looks like she's 42?
She
right?
Ah, that Whitney Cummings.
Well, okay. How Chelsea Handler's supposed to be younger than us.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And she looks like garbage.
Chelsea Handler.
Doesn't Chelsea Handler look like a...
Name something you pass around.
Doesn't she look like she spent, like, the last 20 years giving handjobs to Turkish sailors in a fucking tanning salon?
She banged the guy from E! To get her show. She was banging the president of E! That's how she got her show.
She looks like... Her face looks like it's just been hit with semen and chewing tobacco.
Whitney Cummings is all...
Stepping on my jokes. Anyway, go ahead.
Go ahead.
It's okay. Fine. I was in the middle... Was winding
up... Go ahead.
About what a cow Chelsea Handler was, and you stepped right on it! I said her face looked like it had been covered in jizz and chewing tobacco spit for a decade. Look at her. Look at that tanned up old cunt. All right, go ahead.
I turned my mic off. I let you get your...
No, go ahead, please.
Whitney Cummings, yeah, she looks Botoxed and sort of pulled together. But Kat Dennings is supposed to be... Here's the thing. They took Juno and they moved her in Paris Hilton in with her. That's as far as the creative meeting went on this two broke girls. Mm-hmm. And it's horrible. Kat Dennings can't act. It's phony. The whole setup is phony. I know you don't like the Paris Hilton girl, but
I don't.
At least she's more true to what you think Paris Hilton is than what you think like a hip Brooklynite chick is that's in her 20s that Kat Dennings is supposed to be. Kat Dennings is awful.
I watched it the other day.
It's awful.
I watched it the other day, and she was like, I want this Strokes shirt. They went to a vintage resale place, and they got some extras with tattoos, and they were like, oh, I saw this Strokes concert when I was in fourth grade, and I really, or whatever, eighth grade. Yeah. I don't know how old she's supposed to be.
Yeah, I didn't see that episode.
And she was upset because some other girl bought the Strokes t-shirt from under
her. And she had to get it back somehow.
To which I said, why don't you go down the block? why don't you go down to St. Mark's Place?
Yeah, really.
And there'll be three more vintage shirt stores.
With Strokes
t-shirt. On St. Mark's Street.
Right.
And then you can go St. Mark's Boulevard, whatever.
St. Mark's Street,
Street.
St. Mark's Place.
St. Mark's Place, excuse me. On St. Mark's Place in the village, go down.
Okay.
There'll be another vintage store.
First of all.
And guess what? They'll have like three more Strokes shirts.
All you got to do is go around the corner to the bar, and Fabrizio Moretti sitting at the end of the bar, and why don't you go suck his dick with those big fucking overinflated, greasy lips, Kat Dennings, and your big white pasty tits. And why don't you go bang some of these guys?
Right,
you know, this is so stupid.
You know what the scene they should have done is she's like, oh, I can't find this Stroke shirt. Then Julian Casablancas comes in and gets a grilled cheese sandwich at the diner and doesn't have enough money to tip her.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I mean, it's just phony. It's just one of those things. It's like, it's so artificial that you can't believe anything that they do. That the Paris Hilton girl falls in horse poop, and there's a big joke about how she can't. They don't have any running water because there's somebody. It's like, shut up.
Here's the problem. It's a CBS sitcom, and it's got that CBS sitcom vibe.
Well, it's that Chuck Lorre thing where there's lots of really bawdy jokes.
It's not actually,
that aren't funny. They're going for shock value more than they are for comedy.
It's not actually a Chuck Lorre show.
It's not, but it feels like
the
that.
The only Chuck Lorre show I can tolerate is Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
And that's only because they have sort of, the characters have kind of developed into their own characters instead of, when I initially saw that show, you went, they're all going to be stereotype dorks. Now they're all their own kind of weird thing.
My feeling on this is that when you're doing this
That show's going downhill.
Yeah, okay. Well, I wouldn't know because I don't watch that shit.
Right.
But here's my point. This show, they go for these like gross out gags and these anal sex. Like, there was some joke about, she said, I came through your back door. Oh, we've only known each other for 2 days and you're already using the back door. It's like, that's not funny.
No.
Like, the comedy is not funny. When you have a sitcom, the situation is supposed to be funny, and the situation isn't funny. And then when you pile, it's just a bunch of people saying bad jokes.
The structure,
it's a bunch of bad one line.
What it is the structure and delivery of the jokes.
Yeah.
Is exactly the same as like Shirley talking to Dwayne on What's Happening.
Yeah, but
right? It's, you know what I mean?
The thing
it's the same structural. It's that has that beat and that rhythm that can. What are you talking about? Rerun. I'm just talking about gravy.
Well, a little bit. That is,
and it's the same
that thing,
beat and rhythm
the
as
character,
like old bad shows.
The characters are only there to tell these jokes. Mm-hmm. That's why the characters are there. They're not telling a story about this relationship between these two girls. They're there to say these awful jokes and these double entendres, and the cook is horny, and he wants to bang him, so he's going to make a bunch of dick references and all kinds of stuff. And the Asian guy who runs the diner, you got your cheap Asian jokes, and you got your rich, you know, and it's just so stupid. And it's just like there's no show. There's no heart. There's no relationships. There's none of that that's on this show.
Well, that's how Chuck Lorre does it. That's not a Chuck Lorre show, but it's the style.
It's the style. Because How I Met Your Mother, which I know you don't like.
Yeah.
Is it, you know, and
that's what that show feels to me is nothing but.
That show.
I bang this chick.
That show has way more heart and more believability, and the relationships between the characters. They actually seem to. Man, it's been on for 8 years, or whatever it's been on for 6 years. But at least it feels genuine in a sense. I mean, it doesn't feel real, but at least it feels like there's some genuine thing going on between the characters. And Two Broke Girls is just like, it's just an excuse to
I'll tell you what.
Potty jokes.
I'll tell you, if you ever watched, it's always.
And they can't act. And that's the other thing. You got to get people, if you're going to just tell these crappy jokes, at least have people who can deliver them well. Because 2.5 Men, I had to watch the new one on that with Ashton Kutcher because I want to get laid sometime in my life. I had to sit through that bullshit. And at least John Cryer can at least deliver comedy in his sort of nebbishy way.
Yeah, I guess.
And Kutcher's a mess. Well, but Charlie Sheen can deliver those jokes. I trust that Charlie Sheen can deliver those jokes in that way. And some of the supporting cast is good on
that's
that
what's
show.
Good about Big Bang Theory is that the cast is solid.
Okay.
Johnny Galecki's kind of phoning it in.
Yeah, all right.
But everybody else is kind of good. They can deliver the jokes.
Yeah.
I don't think the jokes are very good on How I Met Your Mother. I like the cast. Like Jason Segel seems to be just there to collect a check.
They do a lot of like flashback stuff that now you see a lot of these other shows doing. Like they use a laugh.
Oh, it's innovative.
But they have a lot of people have ripped it. Well, the guy on we'll talk about Whitney now, I guess. You could pick your worst show. But Whitney has a guy that's exactly Barney Stinson from How I Met Your Mother. Well, he's doing the exact same shtick as Neil Patrick.
It's pretty easy because it got yanked, but Free Agents was dreadful.
Free Agents was bad, okay.
Oh, Charlie's Angels was.
Did you actually watch it?
I could, not a whole episode. Free Agents, at least you saw that maybe they could tweak it and work and make it better.
Yeah.
They didn't get a chance. It was pretty bad.
Charlie's Angels is not long for.
Free Agents seemed desperate, and it's a shame. I like Catherine Hahn. She's an unusual beauty. Off look, a handsome woman, a little off looking, but I kind of like it. But I'm generally attracted to girls that aren't quite smoking hot.
You like the Beaky Jew.
I like a Beaky Jew. Okay. I'm a Beaky. That's a good show. Beaky Jew.
The Beaky. I think we did a Jew Beak show name at one point
I'm sure we did. It's Beaky and the Jew, everybody. Oh, K-Rock. Like
the
K-Bibble, 99.75.
The Hooky Beaks, I think it was.
The Hooky Beaks.
It was your line. It wasn't my line.
That should be my
fantasy. But Free Agents bad?
Free Agents was dreadful, so that I saw.
Charlie's Angels bad, too, you're saying?
Charlie's Angels. Not gonna make that's it. The worst show.
What did we predict on these? Charlie's Angels?
I should have called two.
I have eight, you have three, and Matt's got four. So
boy, I think I might have blown the three.
I went eight on everything because I said they're not going to pull stuff till sweeps. That was my theory.
Nope.
That did not serve me well on this.
What did I give Grimm? Because that looks terrible.
Well, Grimm was delayed a week, so that's that.
They're buying time.
You got six. Matt's got seven. I got five on Grimm. So I've lowballed Grimm.
You know what?
That might be my chance to get
four.
Back into it.
I'm going
to
call. I should have called four.
It's too late to change it. It's in the books. It's official.
Grimm looks brutal.
Oh,
you know what else is in trouble? A Gifted Man, which looks like a potpourri fart.
No, because it's funny. They say that EW does their Death Watch. I don't know if you read their TV blog. It's actually quite good.
Okay.
The Entertainment Weekly TV blog is quite good. And they did their Death Watch just the other day. And they say, even though Gifted Man is very low ratings, that they think the show will stick around because they don't expect big ratings on Friday. Even though it's one of the lowest rated shows on the network, that they like the show and I don't know, whatever. All right, let's talk about some of these other shows real quick here. New Girl, you mentioned, which, because I think Two Broke Girls, Whitney, and New Girl are all sort of, they're not the same show, but you could say they're all
same
about
demo.
Kind of. Like Whitney and New Girl are very similar in their lead characters. They're trying to be.
They're irreverent and sassy ladies.
Yeah. And New Girl, clearly the best of the three shows, I think we would say.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have to talk about Whitney at length. But anyway, New Girl.
What do you have to say about
Whitney? Because it's funny, because the whole reason for this. I'll talk about New Girl, and then you'll talk about.
Sure.
I'll talk about Whitney. And then we'll
I would say New Girl, if you haven't seen it yet, folks, it's a show about four girls that live together in Manhattan. And
what are you talking about?
Oh, well, Zooey Deschanel moves in with three other girls.
It's three guys.
The gayest guys.
It's kind of gay.
They are the fruitiest guys.
New Girl's okay. It's single camera, which kind of spares it that sitcom look. It looks a little indie.
Yeah, sure.
Which is Zooey Deschanel is the queen of indie. It looks a little, it's single camera, no laugh track.
Did you see last night?
I did. I've seen all of them that have aired.
They brought in Natasha Lyonne from...
Oh, Natasha Lyonne.
From nowhere.
They brought in Natasha Lyonne. Natasha Lyonne brought 30, 40 extra pounds with her.
And she did.
But I liked it. I thought she was good on the show.
Well, the subplot was that one of the guys always runs into Natasha Lyonne at weddings.
Sure.
And fucks her.
And
I said...
I'm buying that.
And I said...
That works for me.
I said, problem?
Yeah.
The guy was like... And then the guy was
like... He's like Mr. Super Cool.
He was like,
he's
I don't want to fuck Natasha Lyonne. I want to fuck this hotter girl.
Yeah,
I said, no, I'm good. If that's the deal, I get to bang Natasha Lyonne every 6 months at a wedding.
I'm fine with that. I like Natasha Lyonne. Yeah, she's good. She did look funny.
She did have a little bit more weight.
She's swollen a little bit.
But
she's all right. She's still got it.
Worked for me.
Yeah, I like Natasha Lyonne. I thought she was good on the show.
She was funny
on the show. I think they swapped the blacks, but I'm fine with that.
They totally swapped out the blacks.
They swapped out the blacks, but I'm okay.
I like Damon Wayans.
I did too. I think he might have been a little better. But whatever, it's fine. Ain't no big deal.
He was replaced with a look-alike black. They just went...
They went in...
Boom! In fairness...
They wrote it in. They wrote in that it was a different guy.
In fairness, they could take the lead white guy.
Yeah.
The nebulous lead.
Yeah.
They could take him, put David Krumholtz in there.
Exactly.
No one would know.
They
could pop him out and replace him. They could go. You know what they could do? They could go over to Caroline's.
Nice guy Jew comic.
Right.
Yeah.
They go to Caroline's and wait a half hour, and there'd be six guys in line.
Exactly.
Could go, you look kind of Jewy. Yeah. Let's get you in there. Yeah,
Nate Fritzen, step on up.
Nate Fritzen.
You get to bang Zooey Deschanel.
Banging Zooey Deschanel.
Because eventually, you know that's where that's
Someone's
going.
Someone's banging her on that show.
That guy's going to end up banging
her. How long are they going to wait?
And they do make her... The problem with the show, and it's good, and people like it, and I'm watching it. I don't know if I'm going to watch it every week, but they do. There is that plausibility thing of no one's that looks like her is that big of a nerd. It's a little too much of her looks and a little too much of her. They need to sort of close that difference.
Well,
a little bit.
There's no way to do it unless they put her in glasses.
Well, but they sort of did that on the first one, and they did this makeover. That seems to be every show.
What are they going
to
do? Ugly Betty with her?
But they sort of do that with her. We're like, we have to get her in a cocktail dress, and all of a sudden she's the belle of the ball. And it's a little played out.
I'll tell you what. On Big Bang Theory, they got Maya Bialik on there.
Yeah,
and they haven't.
I don't think there's any saving that.
There's nothing you can do, but I'm sure that Kaylee Cuoco is going to give her a makeover. I'm sure that's going to happen.
It's coming. There's an episode coming. Yeah. So I like New Girl. I mean, it's okay. I don't love it. It's not event television for me.
But it's fine.
It's not as good as, like, the best, you know.
Again, when you say, what's like the best new show? I got nothing.
You got nothing? You don't have
there's
a
no
best
new show?
Well, you didn't
there's
see
some
Home
shows
Man,
that are
so
watchable.
Got... Yeah.
And I've watched a bunch of the new shows.
Right.
I watched Suburgatory.
I haven't seen that. How's that? It seems like that's aimed for like teenagers or something.
You know, it's on that ABC comedy block with The Middle and...
which is all just family. Sort of. Modern Family's good and it's smart, but it is still Happy Days at its root, though, in a little bit. It is a updated version of that, I think.
You know, it's funny. If you like Modern Family and you don't like Arrested Development...
I don't know Arrested Development. I don't know what it is. I don't know. If Arrested Development walked in, I'd be like, "What? Who is this person?"
No, see, you know,
I don't know it. That's my problem. I don't know it.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in knowing it. I just don't know it.
This is kind of... I do this sometimes.
What's that?
Where there might be some... There'll be a band. This happens with bands a lot.
Okay.
Where I'll go... You know, I bet I would like Foster the People, but I can't stand the people that like Foster the People. You're being silly.
Arrested Development's
a great show.
It was on. Three people watched it. I wasn't one of those three. I never saw it when it was on. I was doing something else.
So
never saw it.
Now you're a front runner.
There weren't DVRs when this show was on. I didn't see it.
You know,
I just didn't see it.
It's been on DVD for years.
But I don't own the DVDs.
It's on FX.
I don't see it. I don't see it.
I got copies.
I'm good. Don't say that I'm good.
You should see it.
I mean, I'm sure it's a good show. I'm not saying it's a bad show.
It's a great show.
I just don't know it.
Carl Weathers had a plot line, for God's
sake. Modern Family is the Arrested Development.
No, Modern Family is the soft version of Arrested Development.
I like Modern Family. It's okay. I don't love it. I don't think it's the best show on television.
Modern Family is the soft version.
But
of Arrested
my point of it is that it is Happy Days in that you have to like everybody on the show. There's no bad guys. It's just people in situations, they have to work through them, and at the end they hug it out and it's over. And that's why I'm comparing Modern Family to Happy Days. It's not something like The Office where you have sort of villains, or if Parks and Rec, or you have people you don't like. You know what I mean? It's not like that. It's not.
Although I will say,
it's not combative in that sense.
Parks and Rec has not been strong about keeping their villains.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
They're,
and even The Office, they've toned Dwight down.
Okay, but you know they have Gabe, and then they bring in.
Sure.
You know,
Gabe's so pathetic.
Exactly, but I'm saying Toby was the villain for a while. You know what I mean? Saying like Modern Family is a show where they want you to like everybody. And they want you to sort of relate to it. And it's more of a traditional sitcom vibe. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, there's gay characters and there's, you know, multicultural people and there's ageism and there's old guy fucking a young woman.
And a Colombian
stuff like that.
Girl. Yeah. She talk like this. Yeah. I cannot believe my titties are so big.
So, I mean, it's a good show. I'm not putting it down, but I'm saying it's more of a traditional sitcom than some of these other ones that I like more, and I think that's all.
Back to Suburgatory.
Suburgatory.
The premise of Suburgatory is that Jeremy Sisto, who was on 6 Feet Under, you might know him from there.
Oh, I have all the DVDs.
Thank you.
Oh, I mean, can I jerk off to 6 Feet Under?
He was on 6 Feet Under.
Do you mind if I whip it out? And no, I never saw
what
that.
Was he on? He
it's
was
another
on,
show I never saw.
I think he was on one of the Law and Orders for a while.
Okay.
Anyway, he's kind of always been a supporting actor who's getting a shot at the lead. He's a architect whose teenage daughter, he finds a box of condoms in her bedroom.
Oh.
And so they've got to move from Manhattan
of course,
to Long Island.
No one has
burbs.
Sex on thank God.
No one fucks in the
no
burbs.
One sex
in the I would imagine people fuck more in the burbs. Because there's less to do.
Yeah, maybe.
People
fuck in the sticks, they say.
Yeah.
More than anywhere.
Why are we living here? Let's get out of the
sticks.
Yeah,
we're not fucking. Well, we're fucking too.
Let me tell you. There's
not you and I, but I'm saying.
Yeah, you and I are. Are you kidding? We're domesticated. What the fucking?
We got girls.
Yeah, that's.
We get laid.
Yeah, that's why we're not getting. That's not. We're not fucking because we got girls.
Got a box of condoms.
Yeah, unopened.
Well, you know, there's still still in the box, but, you know, there's a box.
There's an ad for the Garfield movie on the
front. It's fine. It's not a problem. It's fine. It's fine.
Okay.
It's fine. Listen.
There's an ad for Sex in the City.
I think.
On the boxes of condoms.
Look.
The first movie.
Just because I have 18 themed condoms from, you know.
Mm-hmm. You've got to. You know what? You know how Joel's condoms are so old? There's an advertisement for AKA Pablo on them. Starring Paul Rodriguez.
Look. I may take that box, rip it open, and win a trip to Super Bowl 25.
Right.
So don't put it down.
I hear if you buy 4 boxes of the condoms Joel has, you can get a bottle of Crystal Pepsi. It's incredible.
My condoms are so old.
Oh, Hacky Bits. On the next all-new Barry and Dingle. So anyway, yeah, there you go. Your thoughts on Whitney, if we have
no,
to
Whitney,
hear
Whitney,
about Whitney.
Okay, the whole reason of doing this TV thing was I made a joke to you privately, I think, off the air.
That it was the worst
that
thing.
That I was like, we're going to have a party for the cancellation of Whitney. What week in October should we pick? And it turns out that they gave a full order to Whitney, and upon watching it, while clearly the worst promos and trailers, in fact, the pilot was kind of like all of those promos just all strung together. Here's the thing with Whitney. They've aimed so low with that.
That you think that they did well?
It's called It's Friends.
Yeah.
And Whitney's on it, but they do have a lot of other characters on there. And the characters are all every bit as funny as she is, which isn't saying much. Cause I don't think Whitney's that funny. But I liked the guys on that show, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I think the boyfriend's pretty good, and then there is the guy that's kind of doing the Neil Patrick Harris from How I Met Your Mother on air.
Right.
And then there's kind of an Indian guy who's banging one of her friends. And I thought they were all competent. And I think that the show is really it's aiming low and it's successful.
It's achieving the low.
It's achieving where it's aiming. It's aiming to be friends or something. And it's fine. And I'm not saying I like it. Whitney Cummings, I hope Whitney Cummings, you know, gets her head chopped off by an earth mover today in some horrible act. But it's not the worst show on top. I'm being honest about it. To be honest,
all right.
I don't hate the show. I don't love the show by any means, but it's not terrible. Two Broke Girls is terrible.
It's
this show is just it is what it is.
It's here's the thing about this show. At its best, it's going to be what, Wings?
It's going to
be
very
comparable. It's a to, very, you know what I mean?
It's a minor work.
It could be Just Shoot Me good. Yeah, it could be that good.
But I mean, it's a group of people living in apartments who meet at nightclubs or bars.
I really do
and
think
they, you know
what's you know what's
is.
Off about the show? She's older. She looks older than she is.
She is. Yes. I don't know how old she is.
Why is this 38-year-old woman acting like an idiot?
Yeah.
And you go, oh, she's supposed to be hot in 26. The other thing they do on that show is they put her in outfits.
Yeah.
Like she's the hottest.
Did do that.
She's a big beanpole.
She is. I mean, I could see where guys would say she's hot.
She's the
but
sexy, foul-mouthed beanpole.
She's not. I mean, she's not.
No.
She's one of those chicks who's not
in the pilot,
huge.
They had her in a nurse outfit.
Yeah.
They've
put her in a bunch of different
They're putting
outfits,
her in hot costumes.
Yeah, that's the
and
gimmick.
And it ain't working.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't think her boyfriend is all that great.
I think he's okay. I mean,
yeah,
again, kinda, they're not trying to do much with it. It's How I Met Your Mother is sort of a version of mm-hmm. Friends with a little bit of an Apatow comedy spin.
Well,
and this is just more of a weaker version of that. It's just, you know,
to me,
it's a bunch of people hanging out in their apartments and, you know, talking about their relationships. And
to me, it's How I Met My Clicker. I don't have time to watch that
That's
show.
That's not bad. That's a good line.
It's
okay, but I mean, I've watched it, and I wanted to, because believe me, the knives were out when I turned this fucking thing on, and while it certainly annoyed me,
yeah.
I didn't find that, because they didn't do the gross-out humor that some of these other things do, that Two Broke Girls, and you see on a lot of these shows, they're not, you know, it's just, it is, they're trying to be funny in a situational way. A lot of it is, you know, and it's annoying at this point, but Whitney has to romance her man.
And
they have to put a spark back into
that. Doesn't that feel like awkward on that show? Like they're breaking out.
It does.
They're breaking out plots from the courtship of Eddie's father. You know what I mean? Like they're breaking out.
Well, I was worried that it was going to be I Love Lucy.
Yeah.
And it's not. And I mean, it's a weak Friends at this point. You know, and
that's a good example. Remember the Ellen show when Ellen had sitcoms?
Absolutely.
Ellen's sitcom was Lucy.
It was Lucy. Yeah.
It was like her.
That's
and
what I was worried about.
Jolie Fisher getting into wacky shenanigans.
Exactly.
Which with Laverne and Shirley.
And I'm
was
sure
kind
they
the
did put whatever Jenny. Thankfully, God, there's not a part of my brain that remembers any Jenny McCarthy sitcoms. But you know they made them where Jenny McCarthy walked around and made weird faces and was inappropriate in the wrong place. And I was worried that that's what Whitney was going to be. And there's parts of that in there. But a lot of it is just, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, me and my boyfriend aren't getting along and they try to make it nice. And it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, they're not breaking the mold on this. But yet they haven't made a complete piece of shit. So Whitney is not that bad.
Wow, that is really.
I'm shocked to say it, but I'm
that
being
is
honest.
Weak. That is weak sauce from you, Joel.
I'm being honest.
You're going to scorn. You're going to throw scorn upon Two Broke Girls, but Whitney gets
Two
a
Broke Girls is horrible.
Yeah,
it's awful. Yeah. It's terrible. I mean, I got. I still haven't talked about.
Do you have any more adjectives?
It's atrocious.
Yeah, thank
you. It's an abomination.
Yeah. Well, it's not good. I'll say that.
I mean, but are you? What are you?
Here's my problem with Two Broke Girls. I gotta keep quiet on it. You know what I mean?
Why are you worried that your girlfriend's gonna watch you?
She
watching a girl with big jugs.
No,
and it's too. What do you mean?
No, she likes it.
Oh, you don't want to watch it.
Good Christ!
I don't want to watch. But you know, I mean, you don't. I don't live with my girlfriend, so
you were just saying
I have that.
What did you say? You had to get laid sometime in your life.
That's why I had to watch the How I Met Your Mother or the Two and a Half Men.
Well, then, good. See?
Okay, well, that's fine.
That's my feelings about Two Broke Girls. I got to do that.
I mean, you know, my girlfriend doesn't have cable, so if I'm at her place and it's a Monday night, we end up watching what's on the network.
Are you watching the cool TV?
We do watch.
Are you watching the music videos on the digital subchannels?
Yeah, we do watch. She does.
Now there's, you know what you can do? You can watch antenna TV, and you can watch I Love Lucy, and you can watch old sitcoms.
Yeah, there are old sitcoms on.
You can watch The Ghost and Mrs. Muir. And then you can go, you can watch Nanny and the Professor, and then go, hey, how is this compared to what's on now?
Okay, couple things. Terra Nova, I'm going to go from the top here on Monday.
What was our picks on Terra Nova?
We all said 13, but only you thought Renewal.
Hmm.
Now, I don't know what they're doing with this.
Doesn't seem likely.
Okay, it is the top-rated drama, new drama, which is weird.
Wow.
Because you wouldn't think, but apparently the DVR numbers brought it up to actually, like, Person of Interest, I thought, was the big drama hit, but they're saying, I think it's on in a more competitive time slot than this is. So Terra Nova's doing quite well, actually. Although, from watching, they've aired, like, the two-hour pilot and then another episode. I haven't seen the second episode, but I thought the two-hour pilot was okay. I mean, I like the city... the beginning where it was the kind of the fucked up
in the future, and then
thing.
They go back and
it looked like $1 million, and then they kind of go and it looks like they're in Hawaii, you know, sitting around. They're actually, I guess, in Australia or somewhere, but
it did look like Hawaii,
but it just kind of looks like they're hanging out in Hawaii on some crappy sets. And the dinosaur CGI was not great, but this show is a lot like it's a lot like The Walking Dead or Falling Skies, where you have a group of people trying to survive against, you know, in this case, dinosaurs, and going back in the past and having this colony that's trying to survive dinosaurs and prehistoric monsters. Where in Walking Dead, they're trying to survive zombies, and Falling Skies, they're surviving alien invasion. Then there's the rogue group of survivors who are also a threat to our hero group. It's like the kind of the same exact plot line. So it's again, it's by the numbers, I would say, in that way.
It reminds me, there was a show called Earth 2.
Yeah, I never saw that.
That was kind of the same thing.
Yeah. And, you know, you have the same kind of thing. You have the doctor, you have the military guy, you have this guy, and they're all in conflict about how to do things. It's okay. It's
It's
right.
No Sequest, I'll tell you that much.
I never saw
that show had a dolphin.
What? Oh.
That show, that was the worst.
Was it really?
It was Roy Scheider as the captain.
Yeah.
And the kid who killed himself, who was the, he was a hot, hunky, blonde kid. He was not Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Wasn't the Free Willy kid?
No. What was his name? Hold on.
I'm getting my dolphin blonde kids confused.
You know, that's...
So you watched Terra Nova, right?
Yeah, I did.
Did you watch the second one?
No.
I see. You know, I thought the first one was okay.
Nothing in it compelled me to come back.
It's okay. I mean, again, it's okay. You got good... TV, sci-fi, and Fringe. I don't know. Again,
Jonathan Brandis. That
Jonathan
was
Brandis.
Name.
Yeah,
killed him.
Brandis. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I know who that kid is. I remember the name.
Uh huh.
So Terra Nova. I got the other one queued up on a DVR. We'll see if I get to it or not. But I'm guessing Heart of Dixie. You didn't see on Monday night.
Heart of Dixie.
CW,
what is that?
You didn't see that. All right. We can. All right.
You know what?
To...
That way. I might as well, for sake of playing the game, I'm going to have to try, but if I watch a show on CW,
you know, whatever. We know that that's no good. Ringer, have you seen that? No?
No.
Also on the CW?
I guess there's a lot of them I haven't seen.
I think that's doing poorly, but Sarah Michelle Gellar kind of was on the biggest hit that
I'll tell you why I haven't seen some of these shows.
Why is that?
The Tigers are in the goddamn playoffs!
I wanted to get to that, too.
We're running out.
We're hitting up to the two-hour mark here. Let's see.
2 hours.
Unforgettable, you haven't seen, I'm guessing.
Who would listen to all of
Up
this?
Up All Night. X Factor is doing poorly.
Oh, it sucks.
I turned it on, and I kind of wasn't like, I don't know, I just was like.
What a colossal douchebag. He projected, we'll do 20 million an episode.
Yeah.
It'll be the biggest show ever.
Right, yeah.
And it's doing about half that, and it's mediocre.
Well, they're doing it differently in that they're doing live auditions instead of the thing. I think that's kind of what people like about American Idol, is they like that
private audition and they bust their hump.
But I guess it can't be the exact same show. I Hate My Teenage Daughter hasn't come on. Haters on the CW, Corey.
Oh, is that pulled yet?
No, but I've predicted 4.
Haters.
You predicted 6. And
Haters has one thing going
3.
For it. One thing going for it. Cost nothing.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Costs less than
right.
Nothing.
Right. You get a celebrity to agree to take a kid to Starbucks who doesn't like
right.
Them. That's about it.
They could not find a show cheaper.
Yeah.
So that is the one thing going for it, because what are they going to do? Put on a reality show that might have a budget compared to that? That they
from
couldn't
the
cost
mind
nothing.
Of Mario Lopez. Hater.
Why don't, can we do an episode of Hater where I hate Mario Lopez?
It'd be good.
Just come on.
I hate Hater.
You cocoa-colored piece of shit. You fucking ab crunch P90X motherfucking gay boy. You goddamn butt toy little fancy lad. You no acting grease ball mud flap motherfucker. Why don't you go down and be the biggest telenovela star that ever lived? You scumbag. No talent. You're going to smell Kim Kardashian's queefs for a living. You fucking parasite on the face of the earth. How about that? Is that enough for a hater?
I didn't want to step on those. You can see me, but I was...
Joel did.
I went up
Joel
and made
took,
a sandwich.
He waved it off.
Oh, I've lost my papers.
Yeah, it's okay. You knew... I'm sorry. That Mario Lopez... From the mind of Mario Lopez.
How to Be a Gentleman on CBS. I didn't realize Rhys Darby's in that. So I haven't seen it,
no,
but I like Rhys Darby.
From Flight of the Conchords.
From Flight of the Conchords.
Well, isn't it sad?
I think he was going to get the Office gig and then something.
They didn't give him to
I
him.
Don't know. It was rumored.
Isn't it sad when you see guys that you really liked in other
in
things?
Shows that you don't
stuck
like.
On, but,
yeah.
Okay, Dave Foley is on that
yeah,
show too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what he is?
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys. Kevin Dillon, Dave Foley. Mm-hmm. Rhys Darby and
oh,
some other guy.
Free Agents had a bunch of comedians.
Yeah,
on
they
it.
Did. Yeah.
Had like Natasha Leggero. They're all out of a gig. Hey, good. It had Al Madrigal, but he's on The Daily Show, so
okay.
Fuck him. He's got a job.
So yeah, How to Be a Gentleman. We haven't. You haven't seen, have you?
No, I haven't.
No, and I don't know. I'm going to see.
But
it.
I'm sure it'll be dreadful.
My dad likes Person of Interest, so that'll be a big hit. That's some J.J. Abrams. People like that. I haven't seen it. Though.
You know, I do like J.J. Abrams.
So do I.
So...
And Jim Caviezel and. We both predicted that'd be a big hit. Whitney, we talked about Prime Suspect, they're saying is in trouble, but it's on NBC, so
mm-hmm.
That makes perfect sense. But you haven't seen it, no?
Which one?
Prime Suspect.
I saw a little bit of Prime Suspect.
What'd you think?
Not bad.
Okay.
It's but you know what? I am not inclined to like those kind of shows.
Yeah.
So,
but is this is a show with an overall narrative, though, right? It's more like 24.
Yeah, I think
then
they,
it then
I
it's like
they,
CSI, right?
I think they follow one case.
Okay, well, let's see that might I might be I don't know. I'm not going to get into it because now I'm three episodes back or whatever. But I could see where that would be more interesting than the murder of the week that a lot of these shows do. Mm-hmm. Let's see what else here. Gifted Man, who gives a shit? Grimm hasn't been on yet, and I guess at least Pan Am. Which you think is better than Playboy Club, and it's going to win
don't
that. But
mistake that for
it's,
me.
It's
wholeheartedly endorsing it, but it's for chicks.
I watched Pan Am, and my it was for chicks, and I didn't like it. But I also had a big problem that you know they tried to recreate the '60s down to like these planes, which obviously Pan Am planes don't exist anymore. And mm-hmm. I guess you could get one and paint one and put Pan Am on or whatever, but. They didn't go through that. They went the CGI route. And I think the whole thing looked very phony. It looked
very
cheap.
It's very CGI. And you know what the difference is?
The V special effects were like that.
But
very CGI.
That's the difference. It has a more expansive view.
Well, they're flying all over the world.
Like Mad Men. Mad Men is generally stuck in an office or a house. You know, they've gone outside a little bit. But, but when Mad Men tried to do Korea, wasn't all that convincing.
No good, yeah.
You know, so... yeah, you gotta keep the narrow focus on those.
Ultimately, I think Pan Am is for chicks, and there was this whole spy subplot that was kind of half-baked.
I'll tell you why those two shows, the big issue that's for me, they said, oh, Mad Men has cool, like, everybody likes the style, they like all the suits and the crazy dresses and bras the girls wear, and they like the ambiance and the style, but none of the content. Mad Men is about the 60s, as you know what I mean? It addresses issues, and advertising is a medium by which you can look at what's going on in the bigger culture.
Yeah.
You can't look at anything other than, hey, I'm giving this guy a martini. Like, there's no...
Pan Am seems like it's a bunch of chicks who want to get married or something. It's just like...
Right, and it's not...
It's not for us.
Really, what drama goes on a fucking airplane, like, that's really that exciting?
Well, you know, they're flying from town to town, and you never know what exciting adventures, you know, await them in Lisbon.
Right,
Corey.
Sure.
You never know when they fly into Dusseldorf.
Right.
Who's going to be waiting there? It could be an old flame.
It's kind of Love Boat like.
It felt like Love Boat when it first
came on. But then, much like Playboy Club had mobsters and politics,
yeah.
They tried to add that bullshit.
Yeah.
Pan Am did a thing where they were like, "You remember that time that we flew in and pulled refugees out of Cuba after the Bay of Pigs?" You're like, "What? What?"
They were trying to place it into the real timeline of the '60s. And believe me, as this show goes on. They'll have some hippie subplots, and they'll have all kind of, you know, bullshit
like
that.
That's kind of the problem with Mad Men is that they're
stuck.
They keep jumping ahead.
Oh, do they?
So they're like in 65 already.
Oh, well,
so it's like,
trouble.
You know, anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
The Beatles have invaded. Look out, Mad Men.
Yeah, they did an episode where he had to buy Beatles tickets for his daughter. But the Beatles were like a kiddie phenomenon to them.
Well, they were.
Anyway.
All right, let's get out of here.
And we had enough.
I've had enough. Have you had enough?
I've plenty enough.
Go ahead, boy. Lots of show. It's been three
you've
weeks.
Had enough of two. And a, you've had enough of two broke girls.
Oh my god! I don't know who's watching that. I mean, that's just. I'm gonna keep watching it though. I'm gonna give you my opinions.
All right,
as it goes along.
You do it. This is why I go and watch bad movies for the people.
Well, I mean, you watch bad. We didn't even get to movies.
I know, not enough time.
Not enough time. But I'm going to be seeing Real Slow.
We only did 2 hours.
Which I mean, yeah, well.
We don't have enough fucking time to talk about how shitty Footloose is.
Well,
if you go to Footloose, by the way.
It doesn't even open this week. But
I know, it opens next week, and I'll get into it in full. But I just want a warning. Okay, Joel just said he had to watch, and Joel and I said we had to watch shows for our girlfriend.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
But if your girlfriend asks you to watch Footloose, if she begs you,
yeah.
She says, I gotta go see Footloose. You know what you do? You go down to the Eagle, and you take a Leatherman's big cock in your mouth, because it's got to be better than sitting
through
Footloose.
The Eagle says a leather...
The Eagle, it's a gay bar.
I don't know the... All right, we got to get out of here.
You...
What are we talking about, the Eagle?
Break up with your girlfriend if she wants to watch Footloose. You'd better take a dick in your mouth than watch this fucking Footloose. All it's right. So bad.
It's less gay. A blowjob is less gay.
Yeah. Yes! Blowing a man is less gay than
all right,
Footloose.
We're going to get out of here. Good night, everybody. See ya. Wouldn't want to be.
Shalom.
Two broke guys.